It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
You gave a toozy.
God
no,
damn it.
No love with that. Shit was trash.
No, that was a shout out to Mathunzi, bro. I had to be his spirit. Oh,
his at least was like louder, had some strength to it. Yours is so soft.
I didn't think about doing that until we started it. So like I wasn't like fully ready. But I think it was funny. Rob lost composure.
I laughed, yeah.
I mean, it was funny because it was so bad.
Yeah,
as his impression. That's
shout
what
out Mathunzi. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, that's the last episode.
Well, that's the last episode. All
shout
right,
shout out
y'all.
To Mathunzi.
Welcome to another episode of Animation.
Woo!
Squad is back, man. Rob, Brennan, myself, No Ice, No Mathunzi.
Nah, no Mathunzi. You are missed, fam.
No wildness. That was a wild fucking episode.
It really was. It went off the rails.
Watching the end of that episode yesterday, and I was just like, what the fuck? And I love how Rob is kind of just like, hey, man, I'm not going to like, you know, what did he say? Something like, I'm not going to like jerk your fancy or whatever. He said some weird shit when he was like, when Mathunzi
I'm not going to yuck your yum.
Yuck your yum. When Mathunzi was talking about like he's into hentai, he's like, hey, I'm not going to yuck your yum, you know? It's what you,
hey,
what you want to do? What you want to do?
What you want to do? Yeah, you never heard
we're
that?
We're like, yuck like, your yum.
I heard it, like, apparently I heard it last week.
Well, like, I was going to say, like if somebody is just like, oh, I really like, you know, artichokes and she's like, ugh, I don't like artichokes. Like it's kind of rude to be like, oh, that thing you like, it's fucking gross. So
I
never yuck other people's yum.
I never thought about that. Wow.
It sounds like
that's
so
disrespectful, actually.
Especially in the context of hentai, like it sounds so sexual. It's like, hey girl, can I yuck your yum?
It did.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you could take it that way.
Yeah.
I definitely did.
I'm just not saying yuck to his yum. I'm just like, hey man, that's your thing. That's your thing.
Yeah.
Man, this is what is this podcast?
Yeah, this
about,
podcast,
right?
you know what we do on here, man. We watch anime.
Yes, we do.
We review it. Uh-huh. We have one off debates. This is what we do on this show. We talk our shit. All right,
and hopefully your shit too.
And also too, this is
no, don't. I don't want it. I don't want it.
I don't want to do it.
Don't do
this
it.
Is the
do
best
it.
Fucking anime podcast of all time.
That was ice.
Keep the tradition
line.
Alive.
I don't think that's a good. Okay, whatever.
I'm kind of with Brennan because it's not about like I'm not saying we're not dope because I think we're dope as fuck. I think
we're
dope
fun.
Ass fucking podcast.
We have fun.
I say, it's
but
an
I can't say
it's an uninformed opinion.
Well, of course, yeah, but I think it's our opinion because I don't watch a lot of other anime podcasts.
Exactly,
like that, so
that's
I
my point. Like, yeah. Who's listening to all the other anime podcasts?
But I also don't think many people speak like how we speak, unapologetically.
We don't know.
And unfiltered.
I'm gonna choose to believe. I'm gonna self-actualize.
Yeah,
I'm not mad. Like, I'm happy with the confidence. I think we do put quality content out there for y'all, and we love y'all. Thank you guys for listening. But
hey, it's a subjective opinion, and it happens to be mine.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go. That's
hey,
all
I'm,
it is.
I'm with it too, man.
Claim
and,
it.
Yeah.
At the I'm just saying, claim it as a subjective opinion. This is my favorite anime podcast in the fucking world.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah, you can say that. But you can't say this is the greatest. Okay, whatever. I'm done.
Yeah, that's when we're going to get into a whole bunch of, well, actually, you guys can't even pronounce the names correctly.
And that's
one
fair.
One of you dumbasses on there watch fucking dubs. So how could you ever be the and you like spoilers?
Yeah, I was just about to say it.
Fuck.
Good job, Keenan, because I was about to bury you with that. I was like, and some of us like spoilers.
Hey, yeah. Man, fight me.
I will. I'm here. Let's go. Like, I know you was talking to the audience, but I'm here for it.
Brendan did say coming into this podcast, he was looking to argue today.
I am very combative today.
He is primed and ready
hilarious.
To go.
Y'all ain't shit. Let's go.
All right, man. So we're doing episodes 13 through 16. For Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, shit. 13 through I'm just playing. We,
yeah,
13
through 16.
I watched the right ones.
And, yeah, man, Cowboy Bebop, we're getting it cracking again. Rod, you want to lead us off?
Yeah, so this was, the episode was called Jupiter Jazz Part 2. So this was the second part to what was a cliffhanger last time. Spike laying dead in the snow, so we think. You know, Faye is up against the wall with this man-woman person. We're not really sure what's going on. And Jed is on the hunt trying to find Faye because she ran off with all their money and fucked up the Bebop, and Edward and Indra's hanging out on the ship just not doing anything. So that's what we get in the recap coming into this episode. Yep. And it's pretty much right where we start off. Gren and Faye are in the apartment, and things seem to have chilled out a little bit. They're on the couch. Everybody's dressed again.
Yeah, that's good.
Everybody's got progress. all their PC parts like tucked up.
Their PC parts. Okay.
You know, so they're sitting on the couch and Faye's just like, so what the fuck happened? Because she found out that he knows Vicious, that they served together in the military. And that's exactly what he tells her, that they had fought together in a war on Titan, which is one of the moons of... is that one of Jupiter's moons, Titan?
Yeah.
One of Jupiter's moons. So apparently at some point there was a war on Titan. They say it's a desert planet. And he tells them that he tells Faye that they fought together. And not only that, but at one point, Vicious even saved his life.
Arguably.
I mean.
Saved him from a lot of pain. But I don't know if that's like saving your life. Scorpions aren't going to kill you.
They're not gonna,
we don't know
deadly.
About this particular moon, how deadly these scorpions are. Though.
Titan scorpions.
Well, first of all, do we want to go into the ability for a scorpion to survive on one of those?
I mean, the fact that there's an atmosphere on this planet doesn't make any scientific sense. It doesn't.
Whatever. So all I'm saying, maybe it's because it's on Jupiter. But for me, that looked like a regular ass black scorpion, which is equivalent normally to like a hornet or a bee sting. So but, I was like, it's going to hurt. It's going to be really unpainful.
It's going
to
be bad time.
Looks like he's probably about to get like stung in the face, which would suck.
What if he's allergic to scorpions? Would have swollen his face up? Could have died?
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying the likelihood of his death from that scorpion is low.
He saved him from what could have been, at very least, a super bad situation.
I agree with that. Yeah. No, it was going to be shitty.
And he also, like, there was this moment where Vicious had this music box and, you know, Gren liked it. And he's like, here's the music box. The song is called Julia. I don't know if that's like, obviously it's tied to this person, Julia. We don't even know much about who Julia is.
Right.
Yeah. But she is apparently a person.
Yeah.
Tied together with Gren, Vicious, and Spike.
We forgot something, Keenan.
What?
What is today?
It is.
Oh, it is. It is Harvey's birthday.
It's Harvey's birthday.
Harvey's birthday today.
It's not
Happy
my birthday.
Happy birthday, Harvey.
Thank you. It's
matter
not,
of fact.
It's not my birthday, but I appreciate that.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
What do we have?
No!
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Hey, Rob, you know what, Rob?
Happy birthday,
dear Harvey.
Oh, my God. That is decadent.
Happy birthday.
That's a nice looking cake.
To you.
Thank you both so much.
Let me tell you something,
man. That is very nice.
Rob got his birthday cake on time.
Hell yeah. You see it?
That's what happened.
Where's the writing? Hold up. Look at the writing.
What? Where's it?
It's right there. You see that? What's that say?
What does it say?
Happy birthday, Harvey. Because his name is actually Harvey.
That's actually,
I'm
that
also
is my
petty.
First name.
I am petty.
And to give full context to this, why this is so surprising to me is because I walk into the studio today and Brennan's just like, no cake this year. You get no cake from us. You get empanadas, maybe.
Yo, no, but no, look, I was petty because also, not only do you, like, first of all, you shouldn't have got a cake because you got like a million cakes last
you
year.
Got a cake from, you got a cake on Brennan's birthday.
Yeah, you got a cake on my birthday.
Which is hilarious.
I mean, there's more to that story.
Yeah, whatever.
That was pretty funny.
So also, I was in there this morning buying the cake, and they were like, what kind of cake do you want? And there's like 30 different kinds of cakes.
Cause there's a lot of
Porto's. Porto's is great.
Porto's is amazing.
Yes. And so I was just like, wait a minute. What's that? Wait a minute. What month is it? It's Black History Month. So you got Red Velvet.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes.
Red Velvet's great.
And explain why you got a Red Velvet, Brennan.
For Black History Month?
Yeah.
Because black people love red velvet cake.
Everybody loves red velvet.
So this cake is this
particularly
cake,
like if you go to a black person's birthday party,
it's going
to
be red
there's
velvet.
Like a
red
solid
velvet.
60% chance that it's going to be red velvet.
And so this cake is for you, but for us.
Yes.
I respect it. I get it. Thank you very much.
Black power.
Happy to be included.
So yeah, I'm not sorry to interrupt you. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank
you,
man.
I can't wait
to dig in.
Yeah, you didn't see that shit coming.
Cake
did
for breakfast? I did not. No, I was absolutely taken by surprise.
Ha!
I was like, what the hell?
Brennan had it under a black cloth over here.
I thought
on
that was just the thing.
Yeah,
like,
I know. That's great. Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, very well done.
Slightly
well
Cam's idea too.
Yes. No.
Thank you, Cam.
Thank you, Cam. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
Slightly.
That's very nice.
So, yeah.
So,
he's like, all right.
I have no idea where I left off. We were talking scorpions, bad situation, music box.
Yes. Yeah.
And so then Gren gets into the bad stuff. And he's just like, so we served together. I looked up to the dude. He helped me out.
Yep.
And then at some point, Gren gets accused of espionage. He's accused of being a spy. And Vicious, who he thought was his friend, testifies against him.
Snitch.
I mean, what the fuck? I mean,
Vicious is 6'9", y'all. That's who the fuck Vicious is. He's 6'9".
He said his hair looked like a rainbow.
What kind of shit?
I mean, at this point, we don't even know that this is true. Gren is just like, I wasn't. So, like, what the fuck is Vicious throwing him under the bus for?
Yeah, he a hoe for that.
But it, I mean, go ahead. I want to get to like the end of this episode. I thought was really interesting.
Sure. So,
but Vicious, like, fuck, bro.
Yeah, no, that's a bad look.
I'm just saying, but again, I said it last episode. I'm gonna say it again. Vicious has the most appropriate villain name of all.
Dude is vicious.
He's been vicious this whole time.
Doesn't give a fuck about anybody.
Has there been
anything?
Exactly. There has not been a single moment in any part of the show where Vicious has been anything but vicious.
Yeah,
it's like it's true. It's the best name.
I mean, he's been a snitch.
But that's vicious. Yeah.
He's definitely a snitch. Okay.
Especially when you find out how, like, okay, go,
yeah,
continue.
Yeah. So
vicious as fuck.
So, yeah. So he's just, basically, this is a big revenge plot for Gren. He's right. Like, I got put into prison. In prison, I got insomnia and went absolutely fucking crazy. They experimented on me with drugs that totally threw my hormones out of balance. Now I got tits.
Now I got, bro.
Like, this is all because of Vicious.
Do you understand, like, how pissed, how mad would you be if you woke up with titties one day?
I mean, that'd be a day.
It'd be a lot of emotions.
That'd be a day.
He woke up with titties, y'all. Titties are fun on somebody else. All right.
We wouldn't know.
Yeah. I mean,
I can't take care. Like, as a man, most men don't take care of themselves well.
I feel like we're about to go into some dangerous.
I know. It's like
not like that.
I feel
not at all. I'm fine. Me personally, as a man, I don't take care of myself. I take care of myself decently.
I got bad problems without them.
Yeah, exactly. I know I will have musty titties. I'm just being real with you. My titties. You say what? You have problems without them? Exactly.
He said I got back problems without titties.
I mean, that's true too.
Rob got back problems, y'all.
Here's the thing. I already this is probably too much information. I already like my nipples sucked. So you add titties to that. It's over for me.
Like I said, we were going to cross the line, and Kanan just plowed right past it. And that wasn't the line off. I thought we were going to cross.
And I know we were going to cross that line.
But I didn't know we were going to cross that line. Thank you, Kanan.
At the end of the day, too, I know under my titties, too, they're going to be stanking, man.
Oof.
Yeah. I'm just being real with you.
A lot of care comes with that. That's for sure.
But it wasn't just like his body having breasts, though. I think, because you look at his body, his whole body, besides him still having a penis, is feminine. He's super slim. They get made
kind of
curvy.
Got a little bit of an hourglass, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, so he's sitting, even the way he kind of like even sits, he crosses his leg. So it's like, I think the hormone didn't just give him titties. It gave him a lot of estrogen to make him more feminine, too.
I think it's interesting that this show that was made in the late 90s is playing with the idea of like transsexuality.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Let me ask you this question before you continue. Mm-hmm. What would you do if you woke up with titties?
Play with them.
I mean, yeah, got to try them.
That'd be the very first thing. Well, the first thing would be like,
you suck your own titties.
I don't know about that. That's going to 10.
I mean,
like,
I guess
out
that
of
really
the gate.
First of all, I think
going to 10 out the gate.
I feel like that depends on how big they are. Number one.
What size would you want to wake up with?
I'm not gonna answer that. That's a stupid. I cannot answer that question. There's just no good answer to that question.
Not really. No.
Like, I'd say a quadruple A. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my answer. If I have to wake up with titties, I'm waking up with a quadruple A because that means I'm right where I'm at. You know what I'm saying?
Pretty much where you were in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's if you want to ask that question, that's my answer.
He's playing it safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want the triple E?
No. What I'm saying is whatever fits my body.
Yeah. Something proportional.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't want to be too. I wouldn't want to be looking like the letter P or something like that. I want something proportional. I ain't got no ass, so I can't be out here with super huge titties. I look crazy.
Thanks, guys. This is a great birthday gift. just this conversation.
I'm not the only one uncomfortable in this conversation.
No, I'm not uncomfortable at all. Why are you uncomfortable?
It's just the idea of waking up.
It's a hypothetical.
Thanks,
Rob.
I had no idea.
No, I mean, go see a doctor, I guess, because something's fucking wrong. Like,
yes. I mean, for sure. I was like, wait, what?
Rob
this
said,
is new.
Rob gave the only logical explanation, like the only logical answer, because I was just kind of like, damn, what do I do, man?
Over here, like, I'd suck him. Like, that's what your answer
I
about.
Wouldn't. I don't know if I would suck my own.
That was the first thought you had.
I don't know if I would suck my own titty. But I would be like, just how the fuck?
I'd
be
you know where
like,
I could take this conversation,
yes,
right?
I do.
I know. You've been thinking about it this whole time. I know you know Cameron, too. Yeah.
I'm not afraid to go wherever. Go wherever. Go.
Nah, it's rough. I mean, that goes into like being a guy. If you were like, let's just say you happen to have the ability to be double jointed and be able to pleasure yourself, would you do it? That kind of conversation.
Oh no. I mean, I wouldn't feel that way. I mean, that's just me personally. I wouldn't want to do that. I understand that some guys like, all right, now you can take jacking off to the next level. No,
that's a lot.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I just wouldn't be that wouldn't be my thing. I wouldn't be. I mean, now, but that's the thing, though. If I got titties now, I would definitely jack off and suck my titties at the same time. I would definitely. If I got titties now, I might as well, right?
We're never going to get advertisers on the show. It's never going to happen. Like, I was hoping at some point that maybe
Adam
somebody,
and Eve. I don't know. Like, they,
I can't imagine. It's like we're like, this show is brought to you by Epson vibrators.
Yeah.
You know, like, what else can we? What else can we possibly? We dropping F bombs. We're talking about sucking our own titties. It's like we're never going to have advertisers on the show.
No,
like,
it's just, so. Keep the man's dollar out of this show.
Yeah,
right?
Apparently we just, so. Like, this is for fun, guys. About. We make no money doing this.
No.
Oh, shit.
Obviously, this is not making us any money.
Okay,
goodness.
I'm sorry, man.
No, you're not. You felt every piece of that. Rob, where are we at in this episode?
I wrote it in my notes. I'm sorry, man.
So, basically, Faye's just like, so you're going for revenge against this dude because he snitched on you. He ruined your life. Now you're living on this planet. Like, you know, he's going to kill you. And Gren's just like, nah, I'm not afraid of that. Like, I'm not worried. And Faye tells him he's lying and wonders, like, why did you even fucking bring me here? You're just going to, like, kill yourself over this shit. And he's just like, I just wanted to be with somebody, you know, spend my last night not alone. Which, you know, it's a very human thing. I can understand that. And then she opens up fire on him. I'm just like, that's an escalation of the situation.
Yeah.
It's not like you guys were just having, like, a conversation. Things were pretty chill. But Gren, you know, he's battle tested, dodges all that shit, like disarms her and handcuffs her, and he's just like, all right, like, now you're just gonna wait here while I go do my thing. So
the fact that she went for the kill, that she's a wild motherfucker in this show.
She is I mean no qualms, just like blasting this dude's house.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jet on is hot on Faye's tail, is looking around in different bars, goes to talk to the bartender. He's at Gren's bar where he plays the saxophone. And the guys are like, oh, yeah, no, I recognize her. Yeah, she turned a lot of heads. She's with Gren, basically. And the guy who plays music here reminds me a lot of Julia. And so then Jet, who had been kind of picking on Spike, like, oh, yeah, it's like the common name. He's kind of like, all right, well, maybe there was something to what Spike was saying about there might be some connection here. Mm. Speaking of Spike, he's passed out on the ground. And we kind of see some visions that we've seen flashes of this in the past, like when past episodes with Vicious. And we're getting some stuff that lines up with the story that we've heard about him so far and some stuff that seems totally new.
Yeah.
So it seems like, you know, he had one last job that he wanted to do to get out of this Red Dragon, you know, gang and take Julia with him. There's you know, him saying, you know, I want to get out of this after this one last job. But then there's other weird stuff that we see in there that we haven't really heard before. Something about Vicious saying something about they're the only two people that can kill each other. And then Julie even saying something about his right eye. And again, images of him being like operated on, which makes me wonder if he's like some sort of like cyborg or got some like cybernetic like implants or something like that. And in a few episodes, we'll hear that kind of thing is kind of possible in this world, that they can even make more biological seeming like prosthetics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we actually do learn a lot about that during the next few episodes in different ways.
So we more questions about who Spike is or what Spike is at this point, or Vicious and how they're connected.
Back to the Trigon shit. Mm-hmm.
It very, yes, very much so. He's having this vision and he wakes up lying on the ground. There's a crow perching on his chest. And
of course
he realizes,
there is. Vicious is like, yeah, bitch, left one for you. Bye.
And he's just hanging out, and he realizes, oh, I must have gotten hit with a tranquilizer.
They're mocking me.
They're mocking me.
Now, that was interesting. I want to do a callback on that.
Sure.
Because I remember, like, in the last episode, what you, me, and Mathunzi were looking for, Rob, mm-hmm. was the ability to see, like, we were looking for the blood in the silhouette. We were like, why is there no blood? Why is there no blood?
Mm-hmm.
And then we did it, and we watched it, and we were just like, yeah, there's no blood because obviously now we know it was a tranquilizer. So it was just like, this guy had this tranquilizer, like he got tranquilized, and so I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't see that as a possibility. I thought it was gonna be one of those things where it's like, and he had a tin in his pocket or something.
To me, it was a little bit like, it feels like a cheap out. Like, you tried to get us like interested in, oh man, they shot him, and then they were just like, nah, he's fine, it's a tranquilizer.
Yeah.
Something we haven't even seen or heard of up to this point. Just feels like tension for the sake of tension,
just had shot him with like a gun, like with like a bullet that was like electrocution, and just we knew it knocked him out. Because to me, when I saw it, I was like, this is obviously, he's not really hurt, he's out for a second.
Yeah.
There's clearly no blood, nothing. I was just like, it was anticlimactic.
Yeah, I felt a little duped.
Yeah.
But you know, he's fine. He'll be all right. He's back on the case. He's back after Vicious. We'll see where things go from there. Jet, meanwhile, still hot on the trail of Faye, you know, finds out where Gren's apartment is. He's looking around. He asks this dude on the street, like, hey, I'm looking for these apartments. It's the dude that tried to jump Faye and Spike the previous episode. And the guy's like, I'm good with out-of-towners, man. Mm. Like, I'm done.
Y'all,
he got his
much.
Ass beat too many times. But Spike manages to find the apartment, bursts in. and Jet manages to burst in and
finds Faye.
Finds Faye there. Gren is gone.
Yeah.
And Faye is handcuffed on the bed, super groggy, not really sure what's going on, but she knows where Gren is headed, and she knows that he's headed to meet up with Vicious. And with that information, Gren reaches out to Spike, Jet reaches out to Spike, and it's just like, hey, so you're right, there was a connection with Julia. It came from this dude, Gren. He's going to meet up with Vicious, and there's a big bounty on this dude, Gren's head. So if you can get that, hey, well, you can come back to the ship.
Yeah.
Which Spike kind of rolls his eyes at until he hears about the connection with Julia, and then he's like, all right,
I'm
in on this.
Julia!
Yeah.
Right?
And before we cut away from that, there's a conversation between Faye and Jet where, you know, just the episode before, Faye had been talking about, like, I don't really want any company. I'm better off on my own kind of thing.
Right.
But Jet is then just like, if you didn't want us to find you, why did you deactivate our main ship and then leave our personal ships totally unharmed? Like, why would you do that unless you wanted us to come after you? So does she really want to be alone, or is she looking for company? Does she want to be wanted? I think these are all questions that kind of raises.
Yeah, I think she's smarter than she leads on too. I think she says she wants to be alone, but she also knows that she's putting herself in danger, so they know they would come get her, because Spike already proved that on a previous episode where he's just like, all right, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't save her and stuff like that. So I think she understands that logic with them.
Yeah, and there was one other line here that kind of caught my attention. Maybe it's a throwaway line, maybe it's not, because obviously we know these guys pretty much are broke 24/7 or are constantly like living from job to job, paycheck to paycheck, bounty to bounty, whatever. But one of the things Faye did before she left the ship was steal all their money out of the vault. And she tells Jet at that point, there was only like $20,000 in there, which is surprising to Jet. And so you have to wonder at that point, like, maybe they're just more broke than they thought they were, but maybe somebody taken from the vault.
Edward.
That they don't know about. Maybe it's Edward. Maybe it's Spike. Maybe it's the dog. I don't know. But it doesn't seem to be either of these two.
The dog hasn't done a damn thing.
He really hasn't.
He's trash.
Speaking of the dog, he and Ed are hanging out on the ship, and they're talking about, hey, I wonder what our souvenirs are going to be. And that's the entirety of their impact on this particular episode.
Tweet. All right, guys. I'd like to take a moment.
Uh-huh.
And admit when I'm wrong.
Okay.
The show's half over right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm fully wrong or not. I loved Edward's opening episode.
Yeah.
And what Edward represents.
Mm-hmm.
But Edward is definitely not my favorite character anymore.
Yeah. I appreciate you coming around on that.
Yeah.
Takes a big man.
Yeah.
Only because Edward's not involved. Like, it's like.
She's really not.
Like, she's just kind of there. Like, she's like a. Like an accent to the episode. It's just like this cake, like the flowers on top that will not be eaten.
I feel like they might be kind of making her the comic relief somewhat, or trying to. I feel like, and that's trash, because the potential of Edward is so dope. She can definitely be used in so many different ways for them to get stuff done. And I think they're dropping the ball. And that's why I want to ask a question later on about, you know, about this being a classic.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it does seem like Ed helps out, but always off camera. Like, if there's any hacking or anything that's going on, like, they kind of just breeze over it. And that's Ed's, like, only contribution to them as a squad of bounty hunters.
Makes no sense. They're like, we need to find this person that's...
You dedicated a whole episode to this person like that and made this person like they were so dope, and then you pretty much just be like, all right, now what they do is minimal.
Yeah.
I mean, like food and floating around and like asking questions about what you guys are up to.
Being a comic relief, and how much they're successful is, I guess, a matter of opinion. Ed doesn't make me laugh much or at all,
and
unfortunately.
Lethunzi made a really good point, though. It's just like somebody has like godlike powers in anime, they always have to figure out a way to throttle them.
Yeah.
Edward has godlike powers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody made a good point about the opposite of that. They were saying, like, I put a clip up saying, is Ed OP? And they were like, how? This person can literally do nothing but hack. They're the easiest person to probably kill.
Yeah, but, like, I guess. But if, like, you know what
I'm saying? Their skill set is OP, probably. But are they OP'd as a full character?
Maybe. It's because it depends. I mean, you see when the police or, like, even people in the Bebop try to, like, either get away from her or get to her. And she can just, in a world that's so ingrained in technology.
Right.
It's hard to get around that. Like, if you were going to go just, like, you know, sword and board, like, shield and, like, a fucking spike or something, you had no, like, low tech on it, kind of like they attacked that satellite in her introductory episode.
Right.
You could probably take her out.
Yeah, but, I mean, the thing is, it all depends on the powers. Like, if it's like, okay, Ed versus Goku, who's going to win?
Goku,
it's like, well, no, but, I mean, in a physical fight, but if it's just like, yo, they can attack each other in any way they want, and Ed can just be like, well, I'm just going to attack your image and take away all the things your family has. And you know what I'm saying? And like, and go after you like in any way cybernetically,
yeah,
physically possible. And you'll never be able to find me because Goku doesn't have powers to be able to just know where people are. Mm. It's like, you can't ever find me. If you find me, of course I'm dead.
And his power level is probably weak as hell. So
oh, yeah. So you can't sense him. So you can't sense Edward. Or sense her. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, you can call, I think that still counts as OP because it just depends on where your battlefield is. So on okay. Ed's battlefield, Ed is overpowered. Okay. Because it's like, hack-wise, it's like, yo, I see your ship over there. I can hack into it. Like, just think about that.
Yeah.
I see a ship. I can hack into it.
So who's a better tech whiz? Edward or the tech guy from Kill la Kill?
Oh.
Mr. Gathering Data sort of thing.
I'm going to go with Edward.
I might have to go with Edward.
Yeah, same.
Also, yeah.
Yeah, that guy seemed kind of like a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
Where Edward is just like, I can literally integrate myself. Like, I'm the only person to even integrate or speak to a sentient being outside of the human race that was an artificial intelligence, because I'm the only one that can communicate with it, because I'm the only one that could find it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see that guy doing that. He was more interested in his, like, I want to grow myself and be more powerful, where Edward is just like, I am, like, I'm so aware of everything that's happening and how our systems are built that I can be in any part of it, even the parts you guys forgot existed. You
yeah,
know?
Even though dude's suit was trash, so I got to get that to just Ed. I think Ed overall is just
Ed's gonna hack that suit and just like
it'd be a problem.
Yeah, exactly, Ed will hack his suit. Just,
it'd be over.
Choke himself out.
I haven't thought about Kill la Kill in a minute.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the episode. So Gren and Vicious make contact. They're both flying towards the rooftop. With Spike somewhere on their tail, and Gren tries to fake Vicious out, just says, yeah, I'll meet up with you on the rooftop. I'm going to send my lady to come make the exchange. And so they get up on the rooftop. They've got, what's the other guy's name? Lin? Yeah, Lin and Vicious are on one side. You've got Gren in disguise on the other. Pushes him over the drugs. Lin gives him a quick test, just like, yep, this is good shit. Gives him the money. And then that's when Gren reveals himself, mm-hmm. and it's just like, Vicious, like, it's me, what the fuck, basically, like, we were cool, I looked up to you, why did you sell me out?
Yeah,
like, we had something, like, I thought we had a connection, we were comrades. And Vicious is just like, that was nothing, like, that was just wartime, there's like, the connections made and during that are not real. Like, you're nothing to me.
You know how heartbreaking that is? That is so heartbreaking. Think you when one person think they have a connection with you, and then you be like, you meant nothing to me. It's like, where'd all this come from? I thought. So you said, look back at everything like, damn, like all these connections were actually fake, but on your end, you looked at them like there was love or just like friendship.
That's what happened to Jet in another episode.
Yeah.
Remember the girl was just like, he was like, why did you leave me? And she was like, I don't even remember that.
Well, I mean, she was also lying. Yeah, but she knew exactly. She was trying.
Still would have hurt, though.
It would have hurt.
It would have hurt.
But yeah, I feel like you could feel somebody just trying to hurt you. Vicious is just like, I really wasn't fucking with you, bro. It's just like, we were in war together, so I just needed somebody to talk to. And now that you're not here, I don't care.
Yeah, no doubt in my mind. Like, when she said that, I was like, maybe she's just saying that to hurt him. And she was. No doubt in my mind, Vicious is just like, I forgot who the fuck you were until you hit me up and were just like, I got drugs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Vicious really gave Gren a second thought.
Did Vicious even acknowledge the titties?
No. He's kind of just like, oh,
why would
you look different?
Don't care.
You gonna acknowledge him. I'm pulling him out. I'd be like, hey, you see what you did to me?
You did this.
You did this.
Vicious is rough, man.
Vicious is, he's heartless. And
no cares.
He's clearly pissed. He mentions that there was like a transmitter in the.
Yeah, so that's the part I want to talk about.
I have no idea what
that
was.
Okay, so I know what that was.
Okay.
So the thing that happened, and that's why for me this episode has, like, this is the best part of this episode was that. Because that transmitter, because you guys remember why what's his name?
Gren.
Gren got put away. Why?
Oh, because,
you just got it.
I see.
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
Yes.
Vicious was the spy.
Vicious was the spy.
Planted
the spy technology to Gren and then testified against Gren so that Gren took the fall for what Vicious was doing.
Diabolical.
That is fucked up.
That's why I was like, Vicious's name.
Yeah.
Because you were saying, like,
that's cold. That's
absolutely so that's
cold.
What I saw that while I was watching the episode. I was just like, damn, Vicious.
Damn.
Yeah.
No, that's more diabolical. Actually, this episode a little bit more.
I wouldn't put that together like that. But, I mean, what Rob just said, I agree. It makes me like the episode a lot more.
Yeah.
I like how Rob's eyes lit up, though, when I just said it.
Oh, shit. I was watching it going, like, a transmitter. Like, who the fuck cares about that? Because what are they transmitting? I'm like, oh, probably, like, plans and stuff.
Yeah.
The enemy. Yeah, that makes sense.
Plans, you know.
You know.
No, oh, well. I mean, that. I think that definitely significantly makes that episode better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's huge. 100%. It's a big part of that episode.
A really big, I mean, that changed, because I mean, that for me, that's what made this episode so good, because you have to think about that. This person, Grin, because of that interaction, spent all those years in prison, had his body changed to her body, you know what I'm saying, and did all this, and now is finally set up for this climactic moment at the end, and that's how the episode ends.
Yeah, I think he even asked Vicious, like, did you know that was in there? Because Julia took one look at this thing, was just like, oh, you got set up.
Yeah. Exactly. Julia knew what it was, because it came from Vicious.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So
she
like,
knows
that's
how he is.
That's my point.
Oh, he threw you under the bus.
Yeah, exactly. The moment that Julia knew who it was from, knew that Vicious was setting him up, because Vicious doesn't do anything nice.
No.
That's the thing. Vicious does nothing nice. So that's why, in that moment when I saw Vicious just give it to him, I was like, this ain't right. Like, the moment I saw it, I was like, that ain't right. Vicious is not somebody doing nice things for anybody.
Yeah.
And so, like, you think about it like this. In that scene, we'll just revisit that scene really quick. Mm. They're sitting together. Vicious is playing with it because Vicious wants somebody else to hear it.
Yep.
He's setting him up the whole time.
Yeah.
Setting him up the whole time.
Somebody. It doesn't matter. It had to be him. It just had to be somebody.
Just had to be somebody.
So he's playing it until somebody liked the sound of it because he knew it had a good sound. And then he gave it to them. And then immediately after that, the scorpion was going to stab him.
He was like, you can't die. You need to take the fall.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why he did that. That's what I'm saying. Vicious does nothing nice.
Yeah.
So Vicious was only protecting Vicious's own ass. Because if you think about
it,
if Vicious wouldn't have stopped that scorpion. Even if the scorpion didn't kill him, he still would have been in the infirmary, and the things that needed to be transmitted, Vicious wouldn't have been able to transmit from where he needed to transmit it.
Yep.
So you had to keep him healthy.
You know what's funny, Brennan? At first, I was like, Vicious is a whatever antagonist. He's a dope fucking antagonist.
That's diabolical.
That's dope.
Yeah.
I was
watching the episode, and I was just like,
not in a sense of good as in like, but it's like, all right, cool, finally somebody in here. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so once he gets that information download, Gren, very fairly pissed, decides to throw over an explosive.
Of course.
And shoots that shit, and it blows up, and sends everybody flying, and then, like, opens fire on them.
Yes.
And Lin, who Vicious told originally, like, if you want to live through this, you're going to have to basically betray me. You're going to have to let some shit go.
Yep.
Lin was just like, no, I'm going to help you out, and true to his word. But both of them, true to their word, Lin goes to save him,
and he dies. Vicious looks at him and is like, oh, damn, it's too bad, and then leaves him.
Gets on the ship and takes off, and the fight gets to the sky. And we get a pretty interesting dogfight between, as Spike shows up on the scene and sees this going on.
I don't think anybody really wants Spike's hands in a dogfight. Like,
no.
Not
Dude's
even Vicious.
Pretty good.
Vicious was doing his thing.
I agree.
But like it was a dogfight between Grin, Vicious, and Spike, right?
Yeah, and Spike's the only one that got out of there without getting his whole ship like blown the fuck up. Pretty much.
He had that big ass like laser shooter, or whatever it was. That shit was dope.
Because what he did was just really quick that I really liked is that Vicious was going after Grin, and so Vicious shot some missiles. One of the missiles hits Grin. Grin's ship is still intact, but Grin is injured. And then the second missile was coming to finish him, and Spike shoots the missile out of the sky.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, get out of here, bro. Goodness.
Crafty. Yes. Crafty dude. But in the fight, Vicious's ship also takes a blow, and he barely manages to get back to his ship and just takes the fuck off. He's I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Washes his hands of all this. Did he manage to get the drugs? Did we see that? Did he did
yeah,
grab
he grabbed,
the bag.
He grabbed, yeah. he grabbed the drugs.
So he got what he needed out of that. He can go back to his people.
Vicious
like,
got a
hey,
straight W here.
Yeah.
Vicious is, I mean, honestly, look at everything Vicious has done. He's so dope at even manipulating people and befriending them, and then people being cool with him. Because, like, everybody was his friend at a certain point, and he never really fucked with none of them.
No, none of them.
Not his dad, not his brother, not his comrade on the battlefield.
This dude is just...
No.
I'll be worried if I was one of the crows. Sorry. If I was one of those ravens or crows, whatever, on his shoulder, I'd be concerned.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've seen a lot, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
I've seen a lot.
It's like his 19th raven, because he keeps just, like, killing them off, too.
Or just leaving them with dead body, or, like, people like Spike. Yeah. Like, he left one of the ravens with Spike. Like, how that raven ever going to see Vicious again?
Yeah, I don't know.
You took off in a spaceship.
He's gone. Like that. You live here now. You live on this planet with no women.
There's no atmosphere. Oh, wait, I'm dead.
Yeah. So Spike manages to land his ship near where Gren crashed and is just like, yo, you need some medical attention. And Gren's like, no, I'm done. I'm checking out. Like, just let me go.
Send me back to Titan, fam.
Yeah, like, if I can just get back to Titan, or, like, even if I die on my way, like, I'll be happy. Mm. That was the only place I ever was happy, so if I can be closer to that, great.
Gren had a sad life, man.
Oh, super sad.
Dog.
And, And as Spike is asking him about Julia, he's just like, oh, you must be Spike. Like, as I look at you, like, she talks about you all the time. He mentions that Spike's got two different colored eyes, which, again,
I don't
see the difference, but David. It does kind of call back to what we saw in that, yeah. that flashback. Maybe there's something different about his eyes. One of them is cybernetic. I don't know. But says that, you know, oh, yeah, you must be Spike. I can see just by looking in your eyes, you've got the same look that she described.
And the same feeling of when you're looking into your eyes. I was like, oh, that was hormones, bro.
Yeah.
The hormones got you.
Almost hitting them
hard. The hormones got you.
But, I mean, it's good for Spike because at least he knows that, you know, even if he keeps missing Julia, if she's still alive out there somewhere, at least he knows, like, this isn't, like, with Jet. Like, she's still thinking about him, too. Like, she didn't forget that shit. You know what I mean?
You know what I think is hard for
What's
me?
What's that?
Is I keep looking over at Cameron because Cameron has finished the whole series.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
I'm like watching
bastard.
For his reaction. Yeah, look at him. And he's over this morning, was telling me, he's like, yo, this show is really good. I really like it. And I was just like, yeah, you know, look at him. Yeah, Cameron.
Yeah.
Finishing.
It's like one of the only shows he's actually
watched.
This
is the only show he's watched that we've watched.
Okay, yeah.
This is it. This is the one.
We got Cam on anime somewhat.
Hey, good job, Cameron.
So Spike, hearing that news and, you know, feeling a little bit more at peace, decides he wants to help Gren out. Obviously, they missed out on another fucking bounty, but, mm-hmm. you know, he's just like, all right, you know, whatever. Let me help this guy out, and sends him on his way to Titan, and he dies along the way. And as we see the ship going out, we cut back to the canyon where the shaman, Laughing Bull, and his son are watching that shooting star go, and we hear that line again that, oh, it's a warrior that
Coming
wasn't
to his final resting place.
Exactly.
I thought one thing was interesting about this last scene is how Spike got Gren to go back to Titan, because Gren's ship was broken. So for me, this just became an astrophysics thing that I really liked, is that on one side of it didn't make any sense at all. He used a tow line to bring his ship up into space. There's no way that would ever work.
Right.
But the other thing that's cool is that he used a tow line to accelerate this ship up to the speed it needed to get to and put it in the right direction and just let it float. Because in space, there's nothing that's going to decelerate you.
Right.
There's no wind resistance or anything like that. So
True.
After you get an object up to a certain speed, it's never going to stop. So that's what Ice did. I mean, that's what Ice did. That's what Spike did.
Yeah.
He accelerated his ship to that speed and then just put it in the right direction. And it's just like, there's nothing else that needs to be done now.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what they did with, in real life equivalent, the Apollo 13 mission, when they fucking lost power on the spaceship and they thought they couldn't land on the moon, basically. They used the gravitational pull of the moon to, like, basically slingshot them back around.
Yeah.
Back towards Earth.
Yep.
And that was the only way they got back, which is a pretty crazy story.
Yeah. And I think that's also super cool. I mean, just the thought. Well, I mean, that just kind of kills me in a bunch of other sci-fi movies and stuff. Because, like, why are they always firing the engines on these jets? You know what I'm saying? It's like, even just like in Star Wars, something like that, you see the jet, like the back engines are always just like, even when they're just chilling, engines are always on. I'm just like, why?
Yeah. It's
space. Like, you just fire it one time.
You're good.
You get it, and that's all you need. It's like, pop, and then go. And it's like, all right, cool. And then you pop it in a different direction to stop. Like, but whatever. Who am I?
Yeah. So,
I liked physics. It's cool.
I got a D.
A
so,
so the next episode, Bohemian Rhapsody. Good song.
Good song. Great song.
But this one's...
I was hoping to hear the song in the episode.
Had almost nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
I mean, unless there's something thematically that I missed, which, very possible.
Yeah, as of last episode. I mean, Rob misses... I'm really surprised at you,
it.
Rob.
Yeah, I mean...
Cam, what are we missing, man? Fact check us.
No, stop it. Okay. Stop it. Don't ask him for shit.
No spoilers.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you over here asking for a spoiler from Cameron's ass. You over there smirking. Yeah, I can tell you guys everything. Like, shut up, Cameron.
Nobody knows. Nobody wants to know at this point. So this episode starts out...
That's Cameron's laugh. And that's not even an exaggeration.
That's his, like, little diabolical, he's up to some shit laugh. Yeah. So this episode starts out with a montage. The three of the main characters, Faye, Spike, and Jet, they're all out kind of individually picking up a bunch of dudes, like, you know, making their marks and trying to get their bounties on a job. But come to find out that they're capturing all these people all at once because there was a huge job that went down where these hyperspace gates that we've seen throughout, somebody, like, all these people all simultaneously somehow basically hacked into the gates and subverted the toll booth part. So, like, when people come through, just like a toll booth, you got to pay your fee. But when they hacked into it, they stole the fee. But not only that, got the people's bank information and fucking emptied their accounts.
Everything. All the money.
Bruh.
So they captured everybody that did the installation on these things, but they don't, all these people are they find out are disconnected, and not only that, have no idea who the mastermind is.
Yeah, they're all just following what they found out. Well,
they got like a mail order, they saw like an advertisement,
an advertisement
thing.
Yeah.
I got a Mad Magazine.
I love this episode, actually. Interesting. Now that I while I was watching it, while I was watching the episode, I was just like, this is interesting.
Yeah.
But now that I'm actually thinking about like it from the beginning to the end and like what the story is, I really actually like this episode.
It is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Rob. Because Brent is saying that, I feel like Rob was kind of just like,
All right. No, I'm interested to hear more.
This one? Okay. We'll see.
I'm surprised. This was not my favorite, but I can. There are things I like about
it. Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll open your perspective.
Maybe you will. Yeah. You did with the last one. So,
oh, yeah.
You know. So they're basically like, we don't. And worst of all, again, because they're always broke, they can't cash in on this bounty because it's not they don't have the ringleader. They don't have the information. So the bounty's just like, hey, they caught all these people, but they're not worth shit. So you got to keep looking for this leader, and there they are with no leads other than this advertisement that they can't trace. So the only other lead they have are these king chess pieces that every single person they caught seemed to have on them.
Mm.
And as they're kind of deliberating of what they're going to do next, Ed, actually useful this episode somewhat.
Yeah, somewhat.
Picks up the chess piece and figures out that it's almost like it's kind of like a futuristic portable mini game. Like,
man, this upset me too, though.
What? Why? How come?
Because this entire episode is about an infrastructure, a digital infrastructure, and how it was infiltrated. Mm. And Ed's total contribution to this entire episode was saying, "This is not just a chess piece. This is a piece that you use to play virtual."
That wasn't
chess.
His only contribution, though.
For the most part, I mean, otherwise than that, he's just playing chess with a dude.
He's basically like. It's like if once you get on the call and you're trying to trace the line, and you got to try to keep them on the line.
Yeah.
I guess Ed's greatest contribution is that she was a pretty
genius,
decent.
She's genius at chess.
She's a pretty decent chess player.
Because she beat him. Remember?
No,
like,
she did not.
No, she
could have. Like, remember, she was like, checkmate, and then, haha, no, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
If you have the ability to checkmate and you're aware that you can checkmate somebody, you beat him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you did.
I guess she just didn't do that for reasons I don't understand.
Because he said.
She just wanted the game to go on.
Yeah.
And didn't want to lose the trace.
Yep.
So that's basically what ends up happening. She shows him it's the Chala chess game. Mm. And while they're like, all right, well, maybe we can run a trace on this. Jet, meanwhile, is like, well, I'm going to go check back in with the gate company, the people that like basically organize these gates that put out this bounty, because maybe they know something that they're not telling us. And we go see the gate company. They're getting all kinds of complaints because all kinds of people are getting their fucking bank accounts emptied by this stupid scam. And Jet walks in, but on his way to the office, he runs into another bounty hunter who's also on this job. This guy's got way more of an axe to grind with whoever's doing this thing, because they got fucking robbed as part of this whole scam too. And they're like, I'm gonna be the fucking one to find this. So maybe you can run me through this a little bit more. So they, because Jet, it basically tries to interrogate the people running this company, and they play dumb. They're like, no, we don't know who this could have been. We don't have any idea.
Yep.
But it's actually, I'm reading it here. Ed, playing with some cables during this conversation, suddenly electrocuted. But she asks for the Jet's chess piece and uses it to connect with a cyber opponent.
You got to move forward. Because I'm saying, because like when Jet's interviewing them, what he does is he smokes a cigarette. And they're like, you can't smoke that in here. And he puts it out.
Oh, that's right. And it turns out there's a bug in there.
Yeah, his whole plan was for them to tell him that. And it was a bug in the cigarette, which I thought was brilliant.
That is very smart. And we overhear them once Jet's out of the room talking about like that this must be some connection to Chessmaster Hex. And we don't know who that is yet. While Ed is playing her game, we do see her opponent is this old man with a parrot on his shoulder somewhere else. We have to assume this is who that is.
Yeah.
This must be the ringleader, but nobody knows where he is.
They got a thing for like the villain people to have birds with them in this show.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I wonder why that is.
Pirates?
That's the only. That's like, basically
space
the only.
Space,
oh. Space pirates. Cowboys space pirates. And pirates. I guess.
Yeah. So they.
No.
I'm making a face. I'm confused. Like cowboys and I've always kind of equivalent. Like have there's some kind of like fantasy thing that goes. There's
I mean,
some
cowboys
kind of parallel
and pirates. There's similar
out into like the ocean and the Wild West, like this open lawless land.
Yeah, people that want to be free and
yeah,
like live by
explore,
their own law.
Yeah,
yeah no, there's definitely some similarities
between cowboys and pirates. I could see that.
Yeah, I can see that. But they're able to track the signal of the chess game back to Chessmaster Hex, who they find out is basically was a child prodigy, genius, helped the company develop the technology for this gate stuff. But before they released it, it was just like, whether it wasn't safe, there was something wrong with it. They were like, this is not ready to be released to the public. And the company said, fuck it, we're doing it anyway.
As a company would do.
And they covered all of Chessmaster Hex's stuff up. And Chessmaster Hex exiles himself and disappears. And nobody knows what happens to him after that.
Yep.
Turns out he's been plotting this whole thing the whole time. And they track the signal to what is basically a junkyard. Where you have a bunch of like hippies and fucking people that want to live off the grid.
Space Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Nah, Silver Lake has laws.
Yeah, people that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like BLM land in space.
Yeah, people that are just like, no, we don't want to live. They're totally off the grid. You know, you see people growing their own plants, smoking shit, and like chilling in this fucking base as they show up as they're looking for Chessmaster Hex. And they make their way through the ship and they eventually make their way to. Where Chessmaster Hex is hanging out with the other disgruntled bounty hunter close on their tail. And when they roll up, they realize this is just an old man. Like, this is definitely the guy, but he's just playing his chess game. He's too old. He doesn't remember it.
He's senile. Yeah.
Is senile at this point.
I thought he was playing for like most episodes. I thought he was like feigning senile, being senile. No, he was senile.
He literally does not remember the plan. He set it into motion for 50 years ago.
Yep.
To play out at that point.
Because he knew that in 50 years that the whole system would have to do an update in 50 years.
Yeah.
So he's like, this is exposed. That's when you can attack the system.
Yep.
And so, like, he planned it out to the T. And that's what I love about it. It's like he planned out even the flyers, which is hilarious. The flyers that he sends out to all these people that would take advantage of these criminals. So he planned that out, how to get the information out. He planned exactly, like, he had the systems and taught them how to use the systems to get into the system. He showed them exactly where to go, and he showed them how to get the money. But they never got the money. All the money transferred to nobody knows. He's the only one who knows where the money is, and he doesn't know where it is because he doesn't remember doing it. So I thought that was really dope, actually.
Yeah.
Meanwhile. Stuff that, do we know anybody that would be that petty that would, like, plan something for 50 years from now just to get back at
Tony
people?
Baker.
Do you think Tony Baker would do that?
Tony Baker is one of the pettiest people I've ever met in my life.
50 years, though.
I don't know about, maybe not 50 years, but he's so petty.
Give me an example.
He's instant petty, I guess. So I guess maybe not that long. You're right. Not that long.
So, like, but just give instant. Me, like, show me an example. How is Tony Baker petty? Like, give me a story.
I don't really have a quick one, really, to be honest with you. I can use some off air.
All right. So, as they find this old man, the other bounty hunter who was, you know, trying to get this bounty, and doesn't even seem interested in the money, at least for the bounty, wants his money back, wants revenge on Hex, shows up, and when he finds out, like, oh, this old man, like, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't have your money, dude. Like, this is, your money's gone.
Yeah.
The dude loses his shit and just starts
shooting up everything.
And Spike knocks this dude out.
Yep.
And tells him to fucking chill. And they leave him there, and I guess that's what he does. He's just like, all right, I guess I'm out of money. I'm going to start living with these people, just starts smoking the same whatever they're smoking, and just
he became very happy after that.
He absolutely did. He just chilled out. So Jet goes back to the gate company, just like, yo, we figured out what's going on. This does have to do with Chessmaster Hex. They immediately freeze up, and they're just like, all right, we understand. You understand? We want to keep this quiet. Like, what's your price? I don't get why he
Thank
does
you.
This.
I don't either. I didn't get that either. He's just like, just leave the old man alone. Like, why do you give a shit about the old man? I would have said, give me the bounty on the old man.
Absolutely.
And don't touch the old man.
Yeah.
Like, he could have said that.
He could have asked for two things. Unfortunately, he just asked them to drop the bounty on him because he doesn't want Ed to lose her chess partner. Then he leaves the ship. Ed finishes the game with the old man, and then he dies anyway. So she ends up losing the chess partner anyway, and they get nothing. I thought that was really dumb, but
that's how the show sends it in, like, almost every episode.
It's
like,
starting to get annoying.
They get, like, no money, and everybody, it's just nothing. That's what it is. It's like these episodes are microcosms, so it's just like everything buttons up.
It's like, I can respect him, like, there's things I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, leave the old man alone, but fucking get paid. Like, you need the money, dude.
Yeah.
Don't do something stupid. What honor is that? Like, they got the money. It's some fucking empty, soulless, like, corporation that clearly put out faulty material for profit. Take that fucking shit.
To take the money, that's the time you take the money.
Take the money. Ugh.
All the money.
Anyway. So that's how that episode ends. The next two are much more character-driven. They're flashback episodes. We get to see in this particular episode called My Funny Valentine, you know, tied into Faye. Her last name's Valentine. We start out the episode. Spike and Ed are on – or I'm sorry, Jet and Ed. I always get their names mixed up. Jet and Ed are on their way to go take out a bounty, but it's a really small bounty. I guess they don't need help from the other two. Spike and Faye are staying behind.
Yep.
Faye is trying to take a nap, but gets woken up by the dog, and then kind of looks at his face and decides that The dog's face reminds her of a guy that she used to know.
Is he thin eyebrows? Specifically the eyebrows. Specifically the eyebrows. He's like, you got the thin eyebrows like somebody I remember.
Yeah. And so she's like, you know, little Ayn, let me tell you a story. I'm going to tell you all about it. I don't know why she decides to tell the dog. Maybe she just needs to get it off her chest. She's like, nobody else will overhear this shit. So I'm going to tell you all about my backstory. And this is where we find out where Faye came from.
Faye.
Yeah, go for it.
Correct me. I want to take
If you mess up anything, I'll let you.
I will. Don't worry. No, so like this is really interesting to me because it gave Faye's backstory of like, because it actually gives a callback to like the first episode with Faye is when she was in that casino, the guy was just like, wait, are you, you know, Faye Valentine or whatever? And which is weird that he would know her name, but are you Faye Valentine? Because you're like over 100 years old or some shit like that. Like he was saying she was really old in the first episode. I mean, one of the first episodes, you guys remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And I thought that was just bullshit. I thought it was like a legend associated with a beautiful woman that was good with cards and gambling and that.
And just like, the Dread Pirate Roberts or something.
Exactly.
Like, getting passed down.
But she is talented with those kind of things, and what that makes it funny is that like she actually was cryogenically frozen. Mm-hmm. Why she was frozen, they tell her because she had a really bad injury or an accident and they didn't have the medical technology to fix her, and she's like, well, I don't have any scarring or anything. Like, yeah, we fixed you. And so that the guy, when she wakes up, there's a lawyer, the guy who claims to be her lawyer.
No, it's the doctor.
The doctor. So the doctor and the assistant, they wake her up and then like they're like, hey, you know, you pretty much owe us $300 million.
Fam. Like, come on, bro.
$300 million, whatever it's like. They like, you owe us this money. Like,
your bill plus interest.
She obviously woke up in America.
Yeah. clearly.
So she wakes up and then they're like, all right, well, you owe us this money. And she just, oh, fuck. You know, she just goes back to sleep, wakes up. And then the next time when she wakes up, there's this handsome lawyer man. He's like, I'm your lawyer. Let me help you. And then they go on this montage of dates. And
well, even before that, because he's like, let me help you. And she's just like, yeah, like, I don't need help. I know what everything is. Yeah. I don't remember who I am, but I know what this is. That's a water pot. That's a thermometer. That's a cell phone. That's a TV. And he's just like, I mean, you were wrong about all three of those things. Like, things have fucking changed.
That was the funniest one, though, was the laundry machine. She's like, she's like, that's a TV. And he's like, nah, that's a laundry machine. And he pressed a button, a bunch of clothes pop out of the screen. I'm just like, what?
He's like a toothbrush or whatever in her mouth. Yeah. I mean, the thermometer in her mouth.
Yeah. She's so like, that's not a thermometer. He's just like, bam. It's like, yes, it is.
Yeah, but she ends up running from the facility that night, overwhelmed by, you know, emotion. Not understanding the word or the world that she's in now, who she is, owing $300 million. Yeah. And she bails and the alarm goes off. And as she's running, she, again, sees how unfamiliar she is with the world around her. She's running into all this technology she's never seen before.
Seen
she's
a whole
totally
fucking
lost.
Jet fly over. She's like, yo, what? Yeah. Just like a jet, like a regular jet like that this low?
Yeah. It's so she's totally lost, but the lawyer does end up catching up with her, and he's just like, I know you're in a panic. Let me help you out. Yeah. I will help you with this. And that's when the montage goes.
Yeah, so they do the montage of them dating, and the montage ends with him and her being chased down by one of the debtors.
That song was trash, bro.
It was not good.
Yeah, it's probably the worst song in the whole show.
I hated that song.
Did not like it.
So they got chased down, and then like he's just like, hey, we gotta escape these people. There's no way we could do it together. You get out of the car, pretty much, run on foot, and I'm gonna get them to chase me. It would be good. And then she's like, okay. She starts running. As soon as she starts running, there's like a big explosion behind her, and she's like, damn, She's like really upset about it. She dies. No,
says, this is a line that he says. He says, a prince has to protect Sleeping Beauty. That was his whole.
Yeah.
He kept making it to where she was Sleeping Beauty and or whatever like that.
I mean, she's pretty and she was sleeping, I guess. Beauty. Like,
that's the way it works. See you later. Boom! And the car blows. I'm like, that was fucking dramatic
as
hell.
Super dramatic. But the thing is, they don't show us, we don't see the car blowing up. All we see is an explosion. Smoke. Just like the same thing she saw. So she goes back to the hospital, and the doctor is just like, yeah, well, he left everything to you that he had. So all you just do is put your thumbprint here, and it'll all be fine.
So
she puts her thumbprint on her. It's just like, and she just inherits all of his debt.
All of it. What a jerk, dog. Yeah. Dude, all of that she already has, you add on to that.
It's funny because, like, you know, Andrea, my fiance, she doesn't sit and watch most of these shows with me. So this is one that she's kind of sat and watched a couple episodes with me. Mm. As soon as that dude showed up, the lawyer, and was just like, oh, I'm going to help you out, she's like, he isn't shit. Yeah. Like, she immediately smelled bullshit.
Yeah.
Turns out, yeah, he wasn't shit, but I mean, it's still thinking he's dead at that time. Faye, you know, ends the story just like, but at the end of the day, his debt was nothing compared to mine. He helped me out.
Yep.
He introduced me to the world and tried to help me get familiar with it. Like, I can at least forgive him for that.
Yep. And then
Jet and Ed get back with their the bounty. Spike had overheard everything, by the way. Steps out and is just like, "So wait, you're not even like a. You said this whole thing about the Romanis and the gypsies and stuff. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's all made up." Then she's like, "I am who I decide I am at this point."
And he's like, "Your story was too long."
Yeah, that was the funny part. But he's like, "Yeah, cut the fat out of that." Which is like, as a comedian, that's what we do. You cut the fat out of your joke. He's like, come on, it's too much. Just fat on that joke.
Get it to the bare bones.
Yeah. Get to the meat of it.
But Jet and Ed show up with the bounty and they bring him in. They're just like, all right, we got to go turn this guy in. And lo and behold, Faye recognizes this dude, especially because of the barcode tattoo on the back of his neck that she had seen when he was younger. But now he's a great big fat person. Three years later, he's put on a lot of weight.
She recognized him, though. As soon as she looked at him, she gave that look like.
Well, yeah, he didn't put on a lot of weight. I guess they find out. Maybe we're gonna,
he got fat. He got a fat implant. I think he put on a lot of weight.
He put on a lot.
I think he got a fat implant. I mean, technology has changed. He was probably trying to hire for some people. I mean,
from who? Just her.
I guess from maybe his other marks, because it seems like he and this doctor run this scam a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? I mean, and that's the other thing, that the doctor, his name is Bacchus, which I thought was interesting. They touch a little bit on it, but Bacchus was the Greek god of wine and revelry.
I didn't know that.
He even talks about, like, Bacchus drowned a lot of people back in the day, and I'm drowning in debt, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, he drowned people with wine. Like, he's basically a mischievous god that would, like, pull pranks on people all the time.
This show's a little deeper than I think it is.
Yeah, it's
this show has
it's got layers.
Okay.
This show is definitely a show they thought about. It feels like they thought about everything, like the name of the ships, the name of the planets, the experience of what we're looking at. Like, I feel like this is a very thoughtful show.
Yeah. Okay. So Faye, seeing this, is just like, I need time alone with this guy. I got to talk with him. And Spike and Jet are like,
They called it. Like, why does she want time alone? Never
She's
happened
gonna
before.
She's going to let him loose.
She's going to let him loose. And they made a bet. Like, what's over under pretty much?
Yeah.
And she's, at first, it's just like, yo, like, you got to tell me who I am. Like, what is this? What is this scam you're running? Because clearly you're not dead. You just saddled me with your debt and fucking peaced out. So what the fuck is this? And he kind of hints that he knows who she is, that they know more than they've said they do. And so she, wanting those answers, is just like, I can't turn him into the police, because the police cruiser shows up. We can kind of see from our perspective that it's really the doctor and his assistant.
Yep.
But Spike and Jet, of course, don't know that, and they're getting ready to hand him over. And she just takes her gun, blasts the handcuffs off, and is just like, all right, we're going to go. I'm not turning you in. What the lawyer guy doesn't say is, like, his plan is to get turned in at this point.
No, and, I mean, he's like resisting, like, running away with her the whole time. So she was just like, all right, cool, I'm going to bust you out. He's like, I mean, you know I have to. And then she's like, we're getting in the ship. He's like, oh, I don't really fit in here. Everything he could do to avoid going with her. She's like, you're fine, get in the ship.
Stuffs his. And Spike and Jet chase after her. She pulls a gun and is just like, no, like, I'm going.
Yeah.
They take off after her, and there's a brief firefight until
Spike whoops ass again.
He does.
Let me tell you something, man. I don't know if y'all found it funny. Maybe I find little things funny, but the whole time he's in the ship, he has, like, no seatbelt on. The way they drew him flying and it's like they showed like his back moving.
Oh, yeah, that was very funny.
I was cracking up. Like, yeah, that was so obnoxious that they did that for the show.
Because Faye and Spike are like doing these pretty intense G maneuvers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they're just handling like G's because that's what they do.
Yeah.
And he's in the background making it look like, you know, just like that concept I was talking about the other day. Yeah. Like, if you put a regular human being in like each Olympic event, then it'll make the Olympics way more exponentially more watchable.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, we'll understand like why these people are so amazing, because you're seeing a regular person run against the top sprinters in the world.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're slow. You know, so it's like in this, like, they put a regular person in this ship with these people that are used to flying in the high G stuff, and he was just feeling every piece.
Oh, that was hilarious.
I thought that was funny. I did notice that too. Yeah, that was a good observation, Keith.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So they're having this dogfight, and Spike manages to you know, disable her ship. She's floating in space, and she's just like, this is the time. You got to tell me who am I? Which I can understand why she'd want to know that.
Absolutely.
When the police cruiser shows up, and again, it's Bacchus and his assistant, and he's just like, he levels with her.
I don't know.
He's just like, we don't know who you are. Like, you were frozen in cryo sleep with a bunch of other people, which you have to imagine that's their scam. They somehow got control of all these people in bios or in cryo sleep. That gate explodes, which maybe is tied back to what Chessmaster Hex was even saying was a problem in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And all record of these people are totally fucking lost. They have no idea who these people are anymore. And so Bacchus and his people are just like, well, let's just start unfreezing them one by one and just scam them.
Yeah.
I don't know. See what kind of money they got. And just if they think they're so in debt to us that they'll just keep paying us, then fuck, we can just live large.
Yeah. We could tell them that. Well, I mean, what's really interesting to me is, though, is like, I don't understand how they thought the scam was going to work in the sense of saying, okay, we've woken you up. We performed the surgery as well. If they had all their full memories, they're like, no, I went under because of this. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It wouldn't have worked if they wouldn't have lost
their memories.
So that's the one plot hole I found in this episode, is that their scam wouldn't work. Because the thing is, they were surprised that she didn't have memories, number one. And then number two, like, their whole entire plot wouldn't work unless they didn't have memories.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just like, there's just logically, there's no way any of that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how their scam ended up working like that, but yeah.
Maybe she was the first.
She could have been. But as she's finding out that still nobody knows who she is, there's literally no record of who she is. That's when the police do end up showing up. And Bacchus and his assistant are like, all right, never mind. We're out of here. The lawyer's just like, no, wait, uncle, like, don't leave me. And I mean,
uncle.
Yeah, no loyalty amongst these thieves, you know, yeah. Like, for as much as the crew, the Bebop, are just like, I don't even like you. Like, we just hang around with each other. So, like, we're not alone or whatever. Like, they at least always come back for each other.
Yeah.
Not the case here. We can see there's loyalty is, especially with what ended up happening with Vicious and Gren. Like, loyalty is hard to come by in this world and in this galaxy. So they end up turning him in, and Spike gives her gives Faye her cut, and she's just like, this is it? And he's just like, yeah, it turns out it was a small fry after all, which I think is, you know, definitely a symbolic thing of just like, this was a whole big thing she had built up in her mind,
yeah.
When really it's not that big a deal. You can be, at this point, like, if your history's gone, yeah, just be who you are. Like, yeah. Be who you want to be. You can be your own self-made person. So, well,
I mean, I think Jet said he added an extra zero to the bounty, like, or whatever it was.
Yeah, he did some bad math or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that there's that. I think there's a real lesson in that episode, though. I will say that.
Yeah.
In the sense of, like, one of the things that was, like, a big realization in my life, which it took a long time for this sentence to really make sense to me and understand that, is that on any given day, you truly do have the ability to redefine everything about who you are and how you're perceived in the world.
Sure.
Very true.
You can do that on any given day where you're just like, I have decided I am no longer the person that you guys knew that you know me as. Because a lot of people hold on to who they are because of the people around them holding on to who they are as well. And it's like, for example, I want to be a person that is a person of my word. And everyone around you is like, well, yeah, but you lie all the time. It's like, well, I could just move to Kansas and just be a person of my word every single day. And that's who I will be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
Like, or I could stay here and continue to just be a person of my word now. And y'all
change
can believe
that.
Whatever you want about
change
my past.
Narrative.
But mm-hmm. It is. You can change your own narrative and you teach people how to treat you. So, like, for me, that was a really powerful lesson when I was, like, coming up to understand
sure.
that, because that's how I moved to L.A. That's how I created all the things that's around me, is that I grew up having nothing to do with creating television or media or knowing how that even happens, and now I own a media company.
Yeah.
And I didn't go to school for it or anything like that. I just showed up to L.A. It was just like, guess what?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You hear that, kids? You hear that right there?
Story be whoever triumph. You want to be.
Be whoever you want to be. All right? Make it up. It's for social media.
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it.
I'm not saying that. All
that's
I'm saying,
what Instagram is. Instagram is literally everybody being who they really want to be because they're shitty people in real life.
All I say is you can be a good person in real life if you so choose to be it, regardless of who you've been yesterday.
Yeah. Take it that way. Take it as being a good person. But a lot of you aren't doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting that Faye was looking to other people to tell her who she was when really she's the person that makes who she is.
That's real. Exactly. You're the only one who can define who you are.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody else define who you are because of how they want you. They want to put you in their box. They want to put you in whatever they think you may have already been. It's like, no. That's completely and totally up to you. Unless you break the law.
Yeah.
If you break the law, you're exactly who they said you were and you're going to jail. And you don't have any choice to reinvent shit.
But I wonder when this show came out, who did they actually target age-wise, and did they actually get that? Because that's, I mean, just like Trigun. Because Trigun has some deep shit in there, but it's kind of like, if I was at a certain age watching Trigun, I'd be like, I wouldn't have got that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like this particular episode, if you breaking it down like that, it makes sense. We're in our 30s and stuff like that, so we got that. But somebody that's like 16, 15, they might not have.
Well, I mean,
not.
I want to talk about, after we get through the last episode, yeah. That's actually what I want to talk about is how the show is designed, because it's I was talking to you guys before the episode about that. Like, I think it's a really interesting concept, but let's move on.
So this last episode, which is called Black Dog Serenade,
it's
I thought it was a reference to that Led Zeppelin song, Black Dog. You know that song?
It probably is.
Do you know that song?
No, I don't.
Okay, good. So you do, I would say, you do understand. You're referencing Led Zeppelin to two, like, black guys.
You knew Bohemian Rhapsody.
On Black History Month.
You knew Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, that's Queen, bro.
Yeah. I know Led Zeppelin.
I know who Led Zeppelin is, but yeah. I Britta, name one Led Zeppelin song.
I got to hear their song.
Can you name one, besides what he said, can you name one Led Zeppelin song?
I would have to hear the song, I know that song.
No, just name one song. What? I've heard of the name, but I couldn't, like...
It's funny, because
you haven't played a song, and then I'd be like,
we were
riding
in the car one time, and I think some Zeppelin came on, and you were like, oh, what's this? This is dope. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's Led Zeppelin.
And that's the thing. It's not about Led Zeppelin not being dope. It's just that since we don't have exposure.
No, I totally get it. I totally get it.
It's about exposure. Like, my parents didn't listen to Led Zeppelin.
For sure.
You know, like, my friends didn't listen to Led Zeppelin. So it's just like, how am I going to hear Led
Zeppelin? No, I know. It's like kind of like when you were just like, hey, Anita Baker called. And I was like, word. Like, oh.
Yeah, you're like, who
whoa,
is that?
Whoa, wait a second. You don't know who Anita Baker is?
No, like, Tony and Rob both had no idea.
Total whoosh.
No, and Cameron, all three of them. No, you knew who she was? All right, well, two of the three of the white men in our office did not know who Anita Baker was. But for the same
but
time...
But if your parents didn't listen to her, would you? Because, like...
No, exactly. That's the same point.
My parents subjected me to James Taylor. That's what I got.
All I'll say is that, like, I remember when I found out who David Bowie was.
Yeah,
I found out who David Bowie was in 2014 or 15. Like, when I was on the road with the crew, and his name came up, and they're like, yeah, and they were having a whole conversation. Like, Brennan, what do you think about this thing David Bowie did? I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
And it became a whole thing where, like, for the next week, that's all they listened to was David Bowie for that whole week. It's like, Brennan, you have not been educated. You don't know, you're not American because you don't know who David Bowie is.
British. Like, how is that an American? Anyway, go ahead.
Hilarious. I be known, but I don't be known. Like, I got to hear something, but, oh, yeah, that's who they are. Okay, I heard their stuff before. But the Anita Baker thing isn't as bad because Kev on stage is black, and he didn't know who Anita Baker was.
Wait, I have a question. Wait, what?
He didn't know, and then all of a sudden he got.
Me and Kev are going to be talking about
then
that.
He got cool to Anita Baker, and actually he went to her concert. She gave him tickets. They talked, and Tony Baker hated him for that
because he loves
Anita
Baker.
Because he knows, of course, Baker.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So Kev not knowing, and then all that stuff happened was hilarious.
Wait, what's the okay? One last question is, like, I remember another song I learned when I was in college was that song. It's like Thunder. That's AC/DC. Okay, cool. All right, that's all.
Okay.
Shut up, Cameron.
Anyway.
Shut up.
Back to
Cameron's discussion. Hey,
I like that song.
We can have all these passes on Black History Month.
Yeah, this is the month I can do this. It is February.
I'm not saying anything, man. I'm just happy to have some
February.
Cake.
No, you should be happy for Black History Month.
I am. I'm happy to have some red velvet cake. This is great. I can't wait to dig in. this episode...
That was great, Rob. That was great.
This episode starts out with... not with the main characters, actually. This one starts out with, like, prison doors, like, stuck on
man.
Sliding shut, opening back up. There's bodies littering the hallway. Like, dudes are walking around in jumpsuits. Turns out there's been a giant prison break on the ship.
Yep.
And two prisoners are walking down the hall, and they greet each other, and one of them's got a bottle of Dom Perignon in his hand. He's just like, hey, man, we're free. Drink up. Hands the dude the bottle, and the guy just, like, takes it emotionally and dumps that shit out.
Pours it out like he's giving, you know, just for the homies. But then
he poured it
into another dude's mouth that's already dead.
Yikes.
First of all, I noticed that, like, I love that at the beginning of every episode, as soon as you start describing it, Cameron can't help but shake his head yes, because he's like, oh, I know what episode this is.
Yeah.
That's what he was just doing. I was watching him. You're like, yeah, so at the beginning, it's like a prison break. And Cameron's like, oh, I like this one. I like
hell yeah.
Because this was my episode, too. I was like, when it even started, I was like, this is what I'm talking about. Finally.
This episode was fire.
This episode was absolutely fire. So back on the ship, Spike is trying to take a nap, and Faye is taking a shower and freaks out because the fucking shower doesn't work again. She goes to yell at Jet, who's tending to his bonsai trees, and while they're yelling back and forth at each other, they get a phone call. Faye answers it and kind of gets the guy's name, hangs up on him. Turns out it was some dude named Fad, which immediately rings the bells of Jet, who's like, oh shit, like, that was Fad, and ends up trying to call him back. Or no, I'm sorry. When he hears that it's Fad, he kind of, like, stares off into space, and the cigarette he's smoking burns down to the fingers, but it's his prosthetic arm, so he doesn't realize it at first. Mm. And Faye kind of just like, you need to fix not only the shower, but, like, what about your arm? Like,
get a new arm.
Yeah, I mean, you can get, like, a real arm again, and Jet is very much like, I don't need to fix this. This is my arm now. This is who I am.
I make up who I am.
Right.
This is who it is.
So he's resolving to connect with his buddy Fad, and he's just like, you know, calm down, Faye. I'll fix the shower. Back on the ship, they're in the cockpit, and the prisoners have the pilot hostage, and they're just like, all right, well, we were on the way to Pluto, but that's where the prison planet is, so we're not going there anymore. And the pilot's just like, you can't go anywhere. Like, there's nowhere you can go. The police aren't eventually going to find you. This is basically a fool's errand. And one of the dudes doesn't like that and buries a few rounds in his back.
Yep.
Takes care of him. And some of the other prisoners start freaking out, like, dude, that was our last hostage.
Like, he's like, you want to say something to me? You got something else to say? And my man.
And then the guy who dumped out the Dom Perignon, who we don't know his name yet. Yeah.
By the way, can we just take a moment?
Yep.
It is Black History Month.
It is.
Yep. What does he look like?
He's a black dude.
He's a black dude.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I was like, yes, we get the best episode.
No, and he wasn't even like, it's not even just like, oh, he might look like, no, he is he's black as black as the guy on the Bounty Hunter channel. Like,
yeah.
Go ahead.
So that guy steps up and is just like, yeah, I might have something to say about that. The guy like pulls out the gun and starts talking a bunch of fucking mess to him. And immediately like slides a knife out, slices this dude's throat wide open.
Yo, the word that came out of my mouth was, woo!
Woo!
I was like, shit, that was, I think I was like, he's the real deal. Because you knew, I knew, you know when somebody's dope or the real deal in a show? When they step on the scene and they got their own theme music. When they first showed it, it was like, Daryl. And he's like, yeah, I'm whatever. He poured out the Dom Perignon. And then when they showed him again with the whole knife thing, it was like, Daryl. I was like, all right, that's how you know he's not to be messed with.
I love those moments when it's like somebody is so dope, you don't even know what they did.
Yeah.
Like they just showed it like this guy was just like, I'm about to shoot. And then it's just blood spilling from his throat. And all you see is him holding a knife. And it's just like, did he?
Yeah.
Cut him?
You know what I have to say about anime, though, with black characters? It's like, I like how they made him dope, but I hate how they always have a character that we always sound like we're, like, low-key slow retarded. Because the other prisoner that was on there, the bald dude, is, like, missing teeth. He's like, how come everybody? I don't know if y'all, it's in the same as the sub version, but in the dub version, they made him sound mad, like, stupid.
I don't remember him.
I don't remember.
The character, but I don't remember exactly
how he sounded.
See, like,
it was very noticeable how he sounded like an idiot. Like, well, I don't know what we have to do that for. It was kind of like, all right, this is what we're doing.
They gave him like the raccoon voice or whatever.
Yeah, kind of like that, like a raccoon voice. It was just like, all right, we get it.
Ugh, that's tough. But after that dude falls dead to the floor, everybody's just like, oh, okay, you're in charge. Like, that sounds good.
Yeah, you're good. You got this. You're the man.
They recognize that he's basically an assassin.
Yeah,
from,
they know exactly.
From the Red Dragon, which is actually, Spike's old gang.
Yeah.
Back at the parking garage, at the parking garage, Jet meets up with his old buddy Fad. And at first it's...
How did you remember that shit?
No, that's right here.
Oh, I just didn't remember that. Like, I remember I knew he was an assassin, but I didn't realize he was in the...
They only, I guess, refer to it as the Syndicate in the episode. I'm looking at I don't know if that's a spoiler or something like that, but I can't imagine that it is because...
Shut up, Cameron.
He doesn't make it to the end.
Right. Well, yeah, I'll just say even the American version is they keep saying the Syndicate. That's all I keep saying.
Okay. So back with Jet, he's meeting up with his old buddy. You know, it's kind of that old fun that we saw from a few episodes ago, like two old men just talking shit to each other. Just like, hey, what's up? You owe me $20,000. Yeah. Like, you owe me $40,000. Like, kind of going back and forth. And they reminisce about old times. And eventually, just like, all right, like, what'd you call me here for? And he's like, well... You know, it turns out these guys are old partners, and he's just like, there was a prison break on a ship, and on board that ship is Udai. It's one of the guys from your last case. The
like,
one that,
oh, shit.
That, and he says, this is the guy that made you quit being a cop.
Yeah.
That's got to be a dope, serious person to do that shit.
Jet specifically.
Yeah.
To Jet, who, has this whole thing of like, his whole deal is he doesn't let go.
Right. But I mean, the guy was in prison, so.
I guess eventually he did get his man.
Yeah.
True. But, you know, Jet is at first at least just like, listen, that case doesn't interest me anymore. I mean, he had a story a few episodes ago that was all about him letting the past go. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that he was just like, you know what? I'm moving on to bigger and better things.
Sounded scared to me, bro.
He could be. He could have been.
Sounded scared.
But he's just like, you know, I'm out. And we see, as he's walking away, a flashback to the night where it happened, where, you know, younger Fad and Jet, they're running after the younger Udai. He had hair at this point. They're chasing him down an alleyway. And Jet, they split up, but Jet gets him cornered. And he draws down on him. And Udai turns around. But as he does so, Jet gets hit with the spotlight. He can't see. And we just hear a gunshot.
Boom.
We have to assume that's the gunshot somehow took his arm. Must have been some high caliber shit.
That's why I was like, yo, Jet didn't want no problems. He's like, this is the same dude. I don't want to make him my whole body metal.
Yeah.
Turn me into Metal Freeze out in this bitch. I don't want to be Metal Freeze. So I don't want no issues with this dude. So let him go.
He's going to show up with a
let him be.
Back on the prison ship, You know, they're coming up with their plan where they're going to go. And Uda's just like, all right, I got a plan where we can go. But they're going to definitely set up a police blockade. So we got to plan how we're going to get through that. Turns out, luckily, one of the prisoners on board is a former cop. They're just like, they're going to have a blockade, but there's going to be a thin area. We can aim for that and push through. Might be able to make it through, get to wherever we need to go. And somehow, I didn't really even seem clear to me why Jet changes his mind. Did you guys get this? Why he eventually was just like, you know what, I'm going
to take
the case.
He didn't really specify. I think it was more so just like, I guess I kind of have to do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like it was kind of like on his, like, all right, this is for my friend. My friend wants me to do this. Let's just kind of do this for old time's sake.
Yeah. So he does end up, he decides he is going to team up with Thad. He's going to take the case. And he gets on the ship. Ed tells him to bring him back some souvenirs. He meets up with
Thad. That's important, though. Then he turns around to Ed and says, he's like, okay, whatever. And he gets up and he's like, wait, if I don't come back, water my plants. And Ed was like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn it, Ed.
Yeah. I guess he realized but didn't care.
Yeah, he didn't treat it with the gravity.
She didn't care.
It with the gravity of yeah, the owner of the ship that they're all staying on being like, hey, I might not make it back from this one. But that's Ed, I guess. So Jet does end up meeting with his buddy, offers him a cigarette. He's just like, I'm on the case. So the two of them go off, and we cut back to the ship. They're coming up on the blockade, and at this point, Udai pretends to be one of the guards on the ship, and is just like, we have the hostages. We're going to put them on this transport, send them off to you for safety. Like, you guys take them in, and the police get ready to take that, you know, this ship, which they assume is going to have hostages on it, into the, you know, take them in, get them into safety. But instead, it's all a trick. It's all a ruse. The ship blows up, creating this huge hole in the line. Yep. And then all the turrets on the prisoner ship unload on the fucking cops.
They light them up.
Yeah.
Just fucking absolute destruction. And when we pick up Thad and come back from what would have been the commercial break, Thad and Jet are coming to where it last checked in, where that break in the blockade was. And we see that, yeah, it's just totally fucking decimated. And he's just like, yeah, Jet's like, I can't let go of this case. I really do need to bring this to a close. But when they think about where's he going to go next, probably going to end up going to Europa, which is another moon of Jupiter.
Yep, it is.
Europa is another Jupiter moon where apparently the Red Dragon Syndicate or the Syndicate, has some strong connections. And he's just like, he's an old school guy. He's been in prison for a while. He doesn't have a lot of contacts on the outside. He's probably going to try to reach back out to those people. You know, that's probably where he's going to go next. So that's where they decide to head out. And back on the ship, that is exactly what Udai is doing. He's reaching out to the syndicate, and they're just like, nah, man, like, we're good. Like,
yeah,
we're all set. We don't want to work with you anymore. You're dead to us. He's like, well, I got information. Like, what do you think about that?
That doesn't work anymore.
Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
We're not worried about it. Yeah. You're dead meat. The cops are going to get you. Fuck off. And hang up on him. And just as that's going on, Jet and Thad manage to catch up, and they start their plan of attack. As the Jet kind of comes at the ship, and they kind of come at the ship, you know, at the two of them at the same time in their own personal ships. And the prisoners are with the turrets, like with fucking rocket propelled grenades through space, are trying to unload on these guys.
Oh my God, this don't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense how an RPG would work in space.
No, just for the record, like, the reason I've been quiet over here is because I was just about to start doing some internet research. Like, can explosions happen in space?
I don't think they can.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think you need air. Like, you need oxygen for it to ignite.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't, like, how would you even, like, the thing you could, the gun works in space. Like, if you just shoot a hot projectile towards something, that'll work. Mm-hmm. But, like, a missile, yeah, it'll shoot towards it. But when it hits it and it's like the detonator goes off, it'll just be like a little tiny flash.
It'll probably absorb all the oxygen that's there.
It probably has like a little oxygen inside of the missile, but as soon as that's gone, the explosion's over, so it'll just be like a little pop.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I would think, but I don't know. Like, yeah. I said, like, I'm not a physicist. I just wish I was.
Anyway, so they're coming at the ship. You know, it's a full pitch battle at this point. The prisoners on the ship are trying to take out, you know, Thad and Jet as they're coming in, but they both, you know, they both manage to hook their like cables into it and use those to like basically steer into the ship. Thad ends up taking out one of the prisoners, the toothless dude that you were talking about with the grenade launcher. He just crashes right into that dude. Jet, meanwhile, gets on the ship and is, you know, making his way through the hallways trying to find Udai. And meanwhile, the prisoners are in a complete scramble. Thad manages to get into the captain's quarters, the cockpit where the guys was piloting the ship, unloads a bunch of bullets into him, kills him, and they show that he's only got one bullet left. And he takes it and he puts it in the gun, closes it up. The other dude that showed up with the Dom Perignon originally, he's trying to make a break for the ship, but ends up getting basically trapped in like an airlock where Thad's ship was and gets sucked out into space. So that's a wrap for him.
Yeah, you see him go, the way he floated off was so funny. Yeah. I was cracking up.
He was doubled over, like backwards. It was not a good look.
Okay, I have an answer to my question.
Okay, go ahead.
So, actually, explosions are possible in space because a lot, for example, like, you're like, will a grenade blow up in space? And for me, the answer I was going to say was just no. How could that possibly happen? Mm. But a lot of grenades are actually chemically charged. These are chemical reactions.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Like, you know, like a chemical reaction is just the breakdown of the chemicals interacting with each other. That's the explosion. So that would still work. Just like a nuclear explosion in space would still work. Mm. The only difference would be that there'd be literally no sound. So you'd see it. You would see it and you would feel it, but you would never hear it.
That makes sense because there's nothing for it to reverberate off of.
Exactly. But those explosions would still happen. So technically, like, if these rocket launchers were designed to be in space, then the propulsion system, which, you know, could have a little bit of fire on it because that's just propulsion. The propulsion system and the explosion are two separate things. Because if they have a chemical explosion, then it'll still explode. Yeah. It just won't have a sound. Yeah. So, all right, I'll show
you. I got
you.
No, yeah. I got it. That's interesting.
That makes the show more realistic, I suppose.
So all the other prisoners are handled. And at this point, Jet comes across the last one, which is Udai. And they face off in the hallway. You know, it's on site with these two. Like, it's bad blood.
Oh, it's on site on catching site. That fade.
They immediately get into it. And to be honest, Jet is pretty outclassed here.
Yo, Jet is getting his ass whooped by a dude with glasses.
The only reason Jet gets a few of the hits in that he does is because the dude comes at him with a gun and a knife, and Jet just manages to, like, block it with the fake arm.
Yeah.
You know, but he gets shot in the arm, he gets stabbed in the leg, and Udai's just like, dude, you still don't even fucking get it. You got set up, dude.
Yeah.
Your buddy's not your buddy.
I didn't shoot you. Your boy did. Your boy shot you.
Yeah, and so we see the same flashback, but this
Jet
time we see...
Jet got lit up in that fight.
He got his ass whooped.
Wait, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Do you think Spike would have won the fight?
Like it wouldn't have been easy.
I think it would have been closer.
Yeah, I think Spike would have won, but I think it wouldn't have been easy.
It would not. I mean, he's a good fighter because Vicious and Spike can kind of go toe to toe, and Vicious definitely is a motherfucker. Mm. So we see the same flashback from a different point of view from Udai's, basically, where, you know, Jet gets the drop on him, but it's Thad up in the tower that turns on the light, has the high powered rifle, puts Jet in his scope, and blasts off his arm. And he tells him, like your buddy was on the payroll. Like, Thad was on the payroll. You were a threat to the syndicate, and threats don't live long. So, sorry. And just as Udai's about to put him out of his misery, boom.
Bango.
Thad puts another bullet. And puts a bullet into the back of Udai's head.
Man.
And that's a wrap on that badass character. But
man, I loved him. He was just over.
I was hoping he was... I knew he was going to join the team. But it was just like, they need somebody else badass.
He's so badass. All right, either way.
I mean, that guy's not going to follow orders. That guy's not, he's not helping anybody.
That's true.
So he's dead, and then...
So it's just Fat and Jet at that point.
And then they start talking shit, and he's like, and he's just quiet. He's like, is that why you killed him? Because you don't want him to tell the truth and all that? And he kind of just looks at Jet, and he's just like, you trying to go, bro? Pretty much what happens. And they're like, all right, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
And Jet jumps down, gets his gun, shoots, and you just hear a gunshot, and then Thad falls. And
you think Thad actually might have shot him.
Shot at Jet, but he didn't.
He drops to the ground.
Yep.
Jet takes up his gun and looks at it, and is like, you never even had a bullet in the chamber. You had a 1/6 of a bullet in this chamber.
I mean, which makes you even wonder, like, when he took the shot originally, was he supposed to, kill Jet, but took off his arm instead. So clearly, like, even though he's talking a lot of tough shit against Jet and telling him, like, yo, like, you're against the syndicate, like, you gotta go.
Yeah.
Clearly, he felt a kinship with this guy and didn't want to kill him.
Well,
I think,
clearly, and I think you go from the beginning of that when he set him up, he didn't try to kill him. He shot him in the arm.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was ever an intention to ever kill Jet.
I think so, too.
I think it was always just like, all right, bro, I need you to back the fuck off, chill. Because I don't want to kill you. I do consider you probably a brother or a partner.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the steps that I'm taking. So I think he actually was low-key a good dude.
Yeah.
To a point. Well, he shot
somebody in the head. I'll give him conflicted.
He was working with the syndicate as a police officer. Shut up. I mean, he was a horrible human being.
He was definitely.
He had a soft spot for a jet. Wow. Congratulations. He's still a crooked cop. I don't give a shit. I'm happy he's dead.
I mean, I'm not mourning him for sure.
Yeah, I don't got to do I can't side with crooked cops. So, yeah.
But so, yeah, as he's, you know, bleeding out on the ground and, you know, he's just like, yeah, I mean. Think he could slip me one last cigarette?
I didn't quit, actually.
Yeah, I actually didn't quit, which, you know, clearly shows that, you know, he always had, I think, affection for Jet. And Jet lights him one last cigarette. And then as the cops are coming back on the ship, Jet walks away. And the episode comes to a close, as do our four episodes that we were watching for this week.
Okay, so I want to come out, first of all, and us talking about these episodes actually made the episodes better for me. That's the first thing I'll say, and I think both.
I would agree with that, actually.
Yeah, I actually 100% agree.
And then the second thing I would say is what I was telling you guys before we watched this today is that before we talked about it, before we recorded this, is that, you know, one of the things that I had that this four episode stretch really hit a concept home to me is the time when this show was made. This show was made during a time when binge watching was not really a feasible possible thing, because you either watched it when it came on or missed it. Or at the end of it, after it's already all released, you bought the box set. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And most people didn't buy the box set. Right. So chances are 90% of the consumption of this show are going to be in one-offs that people get sometimes on Saturday mornings in Japan or in the United States. It'd be like on weeknights or on Toonami or something like that.
Yeah.
So in that thought process, this show, I think, was designed for that. And it works really well with that. Like we said before, like, these are episodic. So every single one of them is like, if you only walk into an episode 3 minutes into it, you know what I'm saying? Then it's still a good show. Like, you watch and you're like, this is dope. And I think that is what grew the popularity of the show to the level where it is now, is that everyone's experience with the show was a designed experience by the people who created the show that were ready for that. They designed the experience of Cowboy Bebop to be for a casual fan that sees it occasionally. That is the experience, and that is how we all experienced it. That's the first time I ever saw an episode of Cowboy Bebop. Was a one-off. I think the first episode I ever saw was Edward's episode, which is a really good episode.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the only one I remembered when we were like, okay, let's watch Cowboy Bebop. I'm like, sure. That's why I was like, Edward's my favorite character, because that episode is dope, and Edward seems amazing in that episode.
Yeah.
And then you watch the rest of them, and you're like, ah.
I still don't hate him, her. but, like, yeah.
Yeah.
favorite.
So just to say that is that, what we're doing is we're watching this show in a way that it wasn't intended to be watched.
Uh-huh.
And I think that should be taken into account when we're reviewing that, because this is not, the creators of the show never really considered that somebody were going to be sitting down watching this in four episode blocks.
So
whereas like other anime that we watch, like let's say Demon Slayer or something like that, designed to be binge watched, designed to make you pine for the next episode. Mm-hmm. Whereas this show is like, you might only see three episodes of the entire show in the history of the show. Like, I need you to love it for each individual episode that is there. Mm-hmm. And for that, I think the show is incredible.
So if you look at it, so you're saying even in viewing that, view it in that context. So don't overjudge it. You know what you're saying, kind of?
Not necessarily. I'm just saying that, like, I was having a hard time watching these four episodes back to back because I watched them back to back last night.
Exactly.
And that made me get in my head. I'm like, why am I having a hard time? Because I don't have a particular argument of why I don't really like an individual episode where it's like, this episode sucked. Like, I don't get that vibe from any one of the episodes. You know, it's like, we were watching Gangsta. It's just like, yo, this is bad because of this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. Whereas this show, it's just like.
Right. It's just not pulling you along as much.
Exactly. It's not, the show is not designed to make you want to see the next episode. The show isn't designed to make sure that this show doesn't make you invest in it.
Right.
But that was by design. They didn't want you to invest in it. They just wanted you to enjoy it. And so for me, it's like, I try to step back and look at this more of an objective standpoint. It's like, okay, when was this show made? Who was it made for? And how were they intended to watch it? And if you look at it from that perspective, I'm like, there's a real brilliance to this in the way that they're doing it, because each individual episode is actually its own like world that is, in each episode, they create a whole world for you.
Mm-hmm.
They explain the world. They set up some form of antagonist and a story, and they complete it all in a 22-minute episode. Every single episode, except for the two-parter.
The two-parter.
Mm-hmm. And so for me, I don't care who you are. That's impressive. The only other times you really see something like that are in shows that I kind of sort of hate. Shows like Scooby-Doo. But they, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
You hated Scooby-Doo?
I hated Scooby-Doo because it was the same shit every episode. And I didn't care. Like, I watched a lot of Scooby-Doo because it was a cartoon that was on a lot.
I agree.
But it was just boring. Like, every single time I watch Scooby-Doo, I'm just like, I don't care. Like, it's not like I was just like, this is the worst show ever made.
Brandon,
I just didn't care.
We gotta have a talk.
All I'll say is this. Who did the only show that I saw that did that?
Scooby-Doo like that.
Okay, for example, this show is more like Hey Arnold than it is like Scooby-Doo. That's what I would say. Because Hey Arnold didn't. Hey Arnold, you can watch any one episode of Hey Arnold and it works. You can watch it. They set up the world. Mm-hmm. They give you everything you need to know. You don't really need any backstory. It has wonderful music. This show is the Hey Arnold of anime, is what I would say.
I don't know if the viewers are going to deal with that, but...
No, I'm just saying, just the way that it's set up, stylistically.
Cowboy Bebop is the Hey Arnold of anime?
I think so.
I mean, I see the point you're making. I don't know that I necessarily agree
just think about it.
Specifically Hey Arnold, but I see what you're trying
to say. Hey Arnold's set up by the music and sound design. Mm-hmm. Each show is episodic. You know, you have a couple main characters that aren't super relevant in every single episode.
And there's like a little bit of an overall story about what's going on with Spike.
Yeah, exactly. And then you look at Hey Arnold, there's a little bit overall story about where is he from. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's just a show that's like, here's some kids. You know what I'm saying? It's not like there's like, okay, and then Hey Arnold grew up and this shit happened or they progressed towards that. Like none of that happened in Hey Arnold. Hey Arnold was just a show that was super cool to watch because Stoop Kid ain't getting off the stoop. You know what I'm saying? But that's the whole episode. Stoop Kid ain't getting off the stoop.
No, but I do think that's a good point that this was basically
that's
created.
I'm cutting up to that clip too. That's for sure going to be a clip.
But no, that's a good point that this was definitely made in a time when just TV and the way people consumed media was different. And it made me think a lot about just like even how comedies are so much different these days. Like comedies back on TV in the day like had laugh tracks and that it was definitely to tell you what the joke was and where the laugh was, but that was also a storytelling technique where like if you tuned in to halfway through an episode of Love Boat, you could kind of understand what the jokes were and who was what and what the relationships were, just where the laughs were.
Yeah.
Like, so if somebody's just like, oh yeah, I guess I'll go on a date with that guy, like, ha 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 ha. Like, you know, they're not fucking serious about that. Like, right. Oh, okay, those two characters don't get along.
Right.
You know? So it's a similar thing where it's just like, yeah, the way the story is told is definitely more reflective of a time where the media was more spread out over a week-to-week thing rather than just like, all right, yeah, you're just going to sit down and you're expected to watch every episode and even in like quick succession. Because I agree, none of these episodes, with maybe like one or two exceptions, stand out to me as bad.
Yeah.
But watching four in a row is...
It's a lot. It's tough. Because you have to go, like, you have to get set up for a whole world, a whole experience, a whole thing four times in a row versus, like, bringing previous knowledge in. Whereas, like, other episodes and other shows we watch, it's just like, okay, cool, let's continue this storyline.
You're, because you're building on something with one type of storytelling, but in this, you're almost starting from scratch every single time.
And that's to me, it's low-key draining to watch this show at times. Cause, I mean, I don't know when y'all watch it, but I kind of watch I watch this show kind of late, like around 10 or 11.
Yeah, me too. I get sleepy.
So I'll be sitting there like, oh, if it's not pulling me, I'm like, oh, God.
No, I it's like, if I can handle it, or if I can, like, first thing in the morning, like, I get up, I have
a
coffee,
a good morning
and
show.
Then I watch. Like, on the weekends, you know.
Yeah.
So, one other point I want to make, though, just so I don't completely shit on the format that Scooby-Doo has, is that there are shows that did the Scooby-Doo format really, really well.
Who?
Phineas and Ferb. Phineas and Ferb is the exact same format every single episode, but that show is amazing. Like, I don't know.
You've never seen Phineas and Ferb?
No. Oh, well, I highly recommend it. Phineas and Ferb is absolutely hilarious. It's a really good show, but it does the Scooby-Doo thing where it's like, you know what's going to happen every single episode. Every single episode, their sister is going to try to discover them to show off that they're doing these crazy genius things to their parents. She's going to fail. The duck platypus that they have as a pet is going to solve some kind of mystery, and they're going to end up saving the day in some kind of way, shape, or form. That happens every single episode. Uh-huh. But how it happens is really what the show is about, not that it happens. And that's the same thing with Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo isn't about how it happens. We know what's going to happen to Scooby-Doo. They're going to go somewhere. Their car's going to break down or something like that. They're going to be stuck somewhere. There's going to be some kind of mystery to solve, and they're going to get into trouble. They're going to solve it, and at the end of the day, it's going to be the janitor.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens every single episode of Scooby-Doo. And it's not about what happens. It's about how it happens. But Scooby-Doo is like, they don't really separate how. It's just like, the only thing they do is just say, okay, instead of on a farm today, it's going to be on a riverbank. Instead of on a riverbank today, it's going to be in Paris. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they just literally just change out the background, and it's pretty much the exact same episode over and over again. And that's why I had a problem with Scooby-Doo. It's like, I just couldn't deal with it because it's like, I've already seen this 30 times.
As a kid, it didn't bother me at all. I watched it as a child, so that's why it definitely didn't bother me. And then they played it so much. It was like 9 episodes back to back.
I couldn't do it. I would sit there and watch it because I'm like, it's cartoons. But I was just like,
Scooby-Doo might have been the first cartoon that we had to binge watch, or one of them.
That's a good point.
Because they, I mean, when I was a kid, they force you to binge watch that shit on like cartoons.
I didn't like Scooby-Doo. I didn't like CatDog.
But then sometimes, like, you know, Don Knotts shows up or the Harlem Globetrotters.
Very true. And it's amazing.
Yeah, and they show up, but the same thing. Like, they're just one of the pieces of the puzzle. Instead
Pup named Scooby-Doo.
Instead of the hotel owner, you know what I'm saying? Instead of the hotel owner, it's the Harlem Globetrotters. Yeah. Same exact character role. You know?
Scrappy-Doo.
Scrappy-Doo?
I like Scrappy-Doo.
I do not like Scrappy-Doo.
You don't like Scrappy-Doo?
He's so annoying.
I liked him because he was annoying.
I liked the movie because they ended up making him.
Scrappy was Scrappy, man. Scrappy was ready to throw hands.
At any time.
Any time. His little ass is ready to go. Anytime.
Sit down.
On site.
Chest too. He's walking like.
Yeah, he was like, Scrappy was ready to go on site. That was like the, I like Scrappy, and I like that after I started smoking weed, I like the idea of Scooby-Doo and
Shaggy.
I like Shaggy. Yeah. Because I was just like, oh, they're obviously just on edibles all this time. And the Scooby snacks are obviously
edibles. That's what the
edibles.
Scooby snacks
are. But as a kid, I didn't know that. I was like, this show is stupid.
Hilarious.
You know?
Yeah. It's funny how, just real quick, and we're going to get to each other's scores. The internet is just taking this whole, what's the name? Scooby and Shaggy being like the gods of a Dragon Ball Z and like whatever it's called, Ultra Instinct and shit like that. It's been so fucking
yeah.
Funny,
I've seen
man.
A bunch of the fucking Shaggy videos like that. They're pretty great.
Yeah. So I guess I'll go first with my score.
Yeah, sure.
For me, my scores were super low at first watching these episodes because it was besides like the last episode that I really enjoyed. And then when we started talking about it on here. And the meaning behind some of the stuff, it actually raised my score of it because I had them in the low sixes, and I probably put them in the higher sixes around 60 for these 6,800. Because I had them around 61, close to maybe even 5,900.
Yeah, I get that.
But now, just like explaining what these have deeper meanings, and some shit I might have missed in there too. I mean, the show, I get why the show. Why people are saying this show is classic. Mm-hmm. I get it. It might not be to me because when I'm watching it, but yeah, that's my 6,800.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, Cameron, do you remember what I got last time? 66. I'll stay there. 66.
Okay.
6,600. I've already explained how I feel like the way the show is designed, who it was designed for and how they're supposed to watch it. Mm-hmm. I really liked, especially the episode that, you know, I helped illuminate for you gentlemen. Mm-hmm. I really liked that episode and just seeing that betrayal from, Vish. Any episodes of Vish is in it, man. I'm about it.
Vish you said you also really liked the chess episode. Was there a particular reason you really liked that one?
Yeah, I liked the chess episode because, why did I like the chess episode? No, I liked the chess episode just because of the pettiness that this guy, like he spent, like, I just like how it all came together. I just like how they set it up because it's like, it starts off. Like the show started, like I like the way they framed it. It started off with them actually capturing people, and I was like, "Oh shit, they're about to get money!" Mm-hmm. And of course they weren't, but they, you know, they captured all these people so easily, and then it's just like, "Well, what is this?" And it kind of reminded me of the Edward episode, where it's just like, "There's more to this than you think." You know, there's a sentient being or whatever, mm-hmm. and it just kind of was like that episode where there's like a master pulling the puppet strings, but these strings are 50 years old, and the master no longer remembers that they are here. Mm. So, good God, you have 161 unread text messages?
It's group text. You know how group text
Woo!
Yeah, I get it. Sometimes Sorry. You just got to let those go.
That would just give me anxiety. I couldn't open my phone and look at that. Okay, either way, that was, so pretty much that's why I liked it, because of the way that it was framed and what it was. It's like this guy 50 years ago planned to be this petty and this whole system. I'm a producer, so I'm a huge fan of like plans coming to fruition.
Yeah, it's like somebody, one giant Rube Goldberg machine.
Bro, from 50 years ago, and it worked. And it worked to the point where like there's some of the top bounty hunters in the universe are showing up to like to attack you and get you. And the only reason they could find you is because of Edward being dope and playing chess against you. And I also play chess. So I'm just like, all right, by the way, I will not like Super Smash Brothers. I will give any one of you the hands. I will not give you the hands in chess. I enjoy chess, but I am not good at it.
Okay. Interesting.
So I'm just saying, I don't want to put that call out there for like, oh, I'm going to be beat Brennan in chess. Like you probably would win.
You probably would win,
but you will not beat me in Super Smash Brothers. What's his name? I played, the guy who comes.
Greg Layden?
Huh?
You play Clayton in a
Super Show? No, no, no. He's one of the fans of the show. I know he's listening. He probably hates me right now.
Oh yeah.
He comes to all of our what are they called?
Bonfire Stories. Yeah.
I should know his name. I've met him like 80 times.
It's a P. I know it starts with the P.
It's
I'm
a P.
Pretty
I'm
sure.
Sorry, bro. You're gonna hate me for this.
Sorry, dude. I'm terrible with names. I'm good with stories. Terrible.
But either way,
names.
He's the truth. He shows up to every one of our events.
Good dude.
He was talking shit in Super Smash Brothers, so I took him into the office and had to show him these hands. But I give him credit. He was actually really good. He would beat most people that would play, but he was not ready for me.
Of course, Brandon.
Of course.
He was not ready.
He was not ready. Rob, what you got?
I think I said that the previous four episodes that we had watched, with Mthunzi were probably my least favorite stretch. I think that's still the case. This was definitely a step up for me. But that being said, I think this is definitely not some of my favorite episodes. Personally, the chess episode was probably my least favorite, if only because I get what you're saying, and I think that is interesting that, you know, he the pettiness, the whole mastermind plan, the villain of it wasn't necessarily what I didn't like about it, but it had some of the dumbest decisions by our protagonist thus far in it, especially Jet not taking money from that company. That I'll just never understand. But besides the point, I did really like the episodes with Faye and Jet. Their background stories. Talking about the other one, the part two, actually, that one I didn't like much after watching it, but talking about it today, I definitely gained a better appreciation for it. So I think I was also planning on coming in on something, around the 6,000 level, but talking about it today brings it up, just because there is what I do like about this show and what I even liked about some other classic shows that I know some of the audience that are in the group chat have said this is that this show bores them. I can understand why. I don't necessarily I can't argue that. If it's not the show for you, it's not the show for you. Personally, I like this kind of like sci-fi genre. I like the world building. I like world building in general, and that every episode you get a little bit of that is super cool to me. I do like the characters. I like Spike and Jet a lot. Faye's growing on me, especially now that we've seen her backstory.
I like the backstory stuff.
Yeah, it's a character-driven show, and if you don't care about the characters, you're not going to like it.
Agree with that.
I
find myself kind of caring about all three of them, to be honest.
Yeah, same. Personally, I like them. It's just in these little snippets that get revealed slowly. But if you're not going to stick around for it, then you're not going to get it, and that's fine. Personally, for me, this show, especially because, like, even as you were saying, Keenan, that you can really dive into this. There's stuff to dissect. There's levels to everything.
Yeah.
And even like with other classic shows we've watched that have been boring to people, like I would say those classics that have stood the test of time are still get talked about. Like with like if it's an Evangelion or something like that, that show too had levels and layers, and we had conversations about it that were interesting. And that like shows that we watch nowadays that are more binge worthy, like a Demon Slayer or My Hero, like they're meant as entertainment, where these shows that have stood a test of time are more meant as a piece of art. And I feel like this is more of a piece of art than it is a piece of entertainment.
Yeah.
And I really like it. Like I enjoy it. It's not going to probably be in my top 10 overall.
Yeah.
I would say this is, but if
it's above average,
though. I'm enjoying watching it. And for that, I'm going to go, I think I said the same score last week. I'm going to stick with it. 6,500.
Okay, so I think that's fair, and I'm sure I can go ahead and just sub in Isis score, probably about a 3,200.
I'd say that's probably at its peak. Yeah. I know Ice has been very vocal with us.
4,400.
I was at 1,500 for Ice.
Yeah, he's gonna tank the score.
He doesn't understand art. It's fine.
not his kind of show.
Yeah, I would say. So what do y'all think for the people that consider this show a classic? When did you watch it?
How does it hold up to you?
Yeah, how does it hold up? Did you watch it back in the day when it first came out? So you had to watch it, like Brendan said, like episodically, one by one? Or did you actually binge watch it and you still was like, no, this show is still fire, still top five? Because there's a lot of people out there that say it's one of the greatest animes of all time. I have people even in the comment section say, don't shit on this show because it's a top five anime. And I was like, top five? But, I mean, so I want to know, when did you guys watch it? When did you watch it, and do you still consider, if you watched it recently, is it still in your top five or greatest of all time, or does it have that nostalgia feeling like a lot of anime does? So let us know in the comment section. We want to go ahead and drop your stuff, guys.
Yeah, you can find me, RV Danger, on Instagram.
Brendan?
Mr. Producer Face on the gram.
Ice is Ice Dot McGowan, and I am Keenan Baker on every single thing. And thank y'all for tuning in, and we see you next week for another episode of Animation. Out.
Peace.
And so anime was solved forever.